United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! Everybody act like they were surprised and everything. Good morning, Diva. And I think they can hear us on Blog Talk. It took a minute for me to get there.
Yeah, don't forget to announce the WSOM app.
Hey, I know, but I've got a. You can go to the Play Store.
Yeah.
And download the WSOM app, and you can hear us live, and you can actually call us right from there. Excuse me, respond right from there. I hear it's pretty cool. I haven't done it yet. I found out yesterday. Have you tried it yet?
No, I sure did.
Do they have an app for iPhone?
Oh yeah, they can call us from there. Mm-hmm. They can knock us from there. It's all right there, and it's kind of cool. And what else I want to say? Okay, there's some things I got to tell you before I go to where I'm going. Oh, it's Mother's Weekend, Mother's Day weekend.
Is it?
Yes. Want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom first and foremost, because she is my mom. And
she cool.
No.
I like your mom.
Yeah, because she ain't your mom.
No.
My mom ain't cool. My mom ain't never been cool. I don't know what y'all talking about. My mom is my mom. You know, we didn't have cool moms. Friends, I mean, she cool now, but, you know. Growing up, she was not my friend. And so all y'all out there that try to be friends with your kids, just say no, that's not mother. That's not a mother. A mother is not a friend. A mother is a mother. There's a difference between a mom and a mother. So you need to know the difference. Just so that you know that. I want to get that out really, really quick. And happy Mother's Day, Diva. But I want to play this clip. I thought it was very, very heart-wrenching. And then I've got a couple more. Then I'm going to bounce out of here. I'm going to start a fire, and I'm going to leave. That's how you roll.
All they want us to be is ourselves.
And this
is how we are.
This is like Kevin Durant.
We're all work in progress as men.
And he was accepting the MVP speech.
Thank you so much for embracing us.
And you know, you really got to know where what side your bread is buttered on, and where
last
you come from.
Not least, my family, my brother Tony. I love you. Thank you for beating me up. When I was a kid, I always wanted to follow in your footsteps. I pray for you every night. You've taught me to feel confident in myself, believe in myself, that I can do it when I didn't think I could do it. Dad, it's been an up and down road for all of us, but you've always been there supporting from afar, texting me Bible verses every single day, telling me you love me every single day, and that builds me up, and I thank you so much. I love you. I'm just glad you're part of this journey with us. My little brother, Rayvon. You always followed after my footsteps. I always want to set a great example for you, man. Thank you for all the support. I love you. All my friends, Cliff, Charlie, Vernon, Tay, Randy, Ryan. You keep me sane every single day. There's days where I come home upset from a game or a practice and you just brighten my day up. I thank you guys. You mean the world to me. I wouldn't be here with all you guys, without all you guys. This is our trophy too. I appreciate it. Thank you. All the support from all my friends, all my family over the years, I appreciate it. My grandma who couldn't be here, I know she's watching. She's going to text me as soon as I get off the stage. Thank you so much for picking me up from school when I was a kid, fixing me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day, texting me after every game, telling me I need to stop getting texts, and loving me unconditionally. And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked, the odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys by the time you were 21 years old. Everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street. You put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Hey, it's Mother's Day. I wanted to play that clip because, you know, it's, you know, we've had discussions, and we talk about single moms. We talk about who does what and how things go, and we have to realize things happen in life, and it's not for us to point fingers. I think that somebody else's life is better or worse off than ours, but there are mothers out there that are doing it. They're single moms, and not because they are. Moms trying to beat the system. And sometimes we tend to be critical of moms because we think that a lot of them are trying to beat the system. There are some because things just happen. And dads just are not there. Whether it be a mistake when you were a teenager, whether it be a young marriage and you get divorced early, whether it be death, whether it be whatever it is, there are moms out there that are really, 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 really trying to make it happen. And they are working, and they are struggling, and they are trying to raise their children the best way they know how. And so today I want to honor them and tell them that I love them, my prayers are with them, and I stand by them. I came out of a single-parent home, and I know it is not easy. I don't have no stories about, you know, lights being off and no food in the refrigerator, but I was a piece of work, and if you think I wasn't a piece of work now, you should have tried to raise this. All this energy bundled up inside of me now, then. I was no walk in the park.
Because you know what, you know, Tracy crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was
my girl, but she crazy.
Absolutely. I was no easy kid to raise. I was not, now don't get me wrong, I never cussed her out. I never hit her. Didn't do it, but I did some, I had issues. And my mom stuck by me through it all. And so I applaud her today. I don't know if she's listening because I don't know if I turned the machine on before I left. So, you know.
Well, my mama gone to home with the Lord. But you know what? My mama could throw around corners. And because she could do stuff with a belt that I don't think that they can do in the rodeos. Okay.
No, they go to jail for that now.
Well, I don't care what they do now.
They go to jail for that.
A long time ago, it was an order to do.
And it worked.
It worked.
So this weekend, you know, spend some time with your parents. And let Mother's Day, let's not make this a Hallmark, you know, Hallmark day. You don't have to buy roses today and don't buy them until next Mother's Day. And you have to go to church on Sunday and don't go to church again until the next Mother's Day. Spend some time. Get to know them as an adult and be their friend so that you can have a relationship with them. How you doing, Diva? How you doing, Alabama? Good morning.
Why you got to play that man talking about his mama like that? Man, that's a tearjerker, man. I know.
Good, wasn't it? I was like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I like him on LeBron anyway, but not to say LeBron's a bad person, but I just like, he seemed real humble, and he's not the typical good ball player. I mean, he's got that warrior in him. You got to have that, but he's still kind of got that, you know, I don't mean I have to be an a-hole to people and people in any kind of way, because I know I played ball, and I know a lot of ball players, basketball players especially, are divas. No pun intended, but they're just real. Like, football players are a lot more down there. Basketball players are real a-holes. They really are, most of the ones I played with.
You know, I will say this. He tends to be, you can tell how his mama raised him.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching T.D. Jakes this morning on MSNBC, and that's a whole other topic for another day, but just because. But nevertheless. We'll do that next week. But, you know, he actually brought up, and we were talking about this, me and my mom. The Bible says if you train up a child in the way that you would have for them to go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. What you put in your children comes out of your children. It's just that simple. And if you want to see what you've put in your children, I promise you, you will see it at the end of the road. And so we need to understand that. And you could tell his mom put some serious values in him.
Yeah.
Because he honored her. And that's what it's, at the end of the day, honoring God and honoring your parents is what it's really all about.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And if you can get those two things down, you got something. And I got an issue, and I got to play it. And it's about Donald Sterling. I got to go back to him for a minute.
What did Donald Sterling do?
I
got to
go back to him for a minute.
Alone.
I can't let this alone. This is good.
He's 100 years old, and y'all just going to worry him.
No, this is not about him. This is about us.
Oh.
This is about you.
Okay.
You. It ain't about me. It's about you. It's about Alabama, and it's about Diva. It ain't about me.
All right, let's see.
It's about y'all. I got to take my break first. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Stable barbecue sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Stable barbecue sauce. The pool couple of.
Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
ESPN.com. He made a funny today saying more people wrote his, read his column on Donald Sterling and Donald Sterling's racism written 9 years ago. More people read it yesterday than read it when he wrote it 9 years ago. And this has been a little bit exasperating, I would say, to me and Bomani, because we're always yelling about racism in other places. And now everyone else is yelling about it, and we're kind of laughing about it. So let's start here, Bomani. What's the funny in this?
Dude, this man can't keep his lady friends under control. We are in this situation because this man's wife resented the fact that he had spent all this money on this particular woman. You decide why this would be the one to make her jump over the ledge on it. And so she sued this woman for $1.8 million. This woman doesn't have $1.8 million. So how is she going to get from under this? By threatening Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling didn't think she meant business. Then she brought the haymaker with this. And you listen to the call, and you're just like, wait a minute. You would rather your woman sleep with Magic Johnson than take a picture with him?
That was amazing. That has gone undercovered. This part of the story has been undercovered, that Donald Sterling is so crazy at this point in his life that he's like, don't take any pictures with Magic Johnson, but you could go ahead and sleep with him.
As much as you want.
What is that?
Yo, I'm just telling you, we all got our decisions that we make and the things that we rock with, but I don't think there's anything improper about saying. If I have a suspicion that you're sleeping with Magic, I need some answers, and I need some answers now. And if you are, that's fine, but you're not going to be sleeping with me.
What just happened here, Bomani?
Why'd y'all do that to me right there? Why'd y'all do that to me? I went real silent at that moment, knowing damn well everybody's on the same program
you
here.
Felt
I don't
that?
Think there's nothing wrong with that.
Wait, you expected me to go silent?
No, you know
that,
you nailed
Bomani.
The landing there. You nailed the landing like a gymnast.
Yeah, but y'all did. Y'all still kind of left me out there like, ooh, I think he might have gone too far.
I mean, he's right. We didn't exactly, like, cradle him like Bella Caroli.
I was trying to move the conversation to some of the other.
Okay, just checking, just making sure everybody is in the right place.
To what else? What else is funny about this?
Let's see, what else? Well, just the way he talked in that telephone conversation, he was so meandering, and this silly, silly woman, I would change my skin color if I had to. And she looked at him and said she took down all the pictures with black people. She thought Magic didn't count because he was Magic. And then she says, well, Matt Kemp, because Matt Kemp is mixed like me. I met his mom. What?
Why is no one else seeing the funny in this, Bomani? Like, why?
Because this is the only opportunity that a lot of people out here will have where they feel comfortable within their souls and within their psyches to stand against racism. Because it's so easy to do it on this right here, and it's so scandalous. Like, you talk about this, the whiff of scandal. It's such a funny story when it comes to it right there. So everybody's like, I can't miss my chance to speak down on racism, because when the next time comes and it's real racism, and me and you are actually talking about it and the rest of them are being silent, that's when you get to pop up and be like, but wait, I said something about Donald Sterling.
Dan, am I allowed to laugh at any of this?
Less so.
What would stop you from being able to laugh at this whole idea with magic? I think we all can laugh at that.
I mean, that's crazy. That is the talk of a crazy person. Like, I don't even understand what the seeds of that are.
Well, here's what's going on here, and this is what I don't think people are discussing. He didn't say he didn't want black people coming to his games. He didn't say he didn't want Magic Johnson coming to his games with black people. He said he didn't want his woman out there with black people because that was going to be embarrassing to him. And most of the racism that he talked about on that call was actually blaming racism on society and saying that he was simply riding along with what was necessary given the world that he was in. Now, you tell me right now, if you believe for a second that Donald Sterling is the only person that will see his woman out here comporting with a bunch of young black dudes or black dudes of any type, tell me right now you think he's the only one that would have a problem. He's not. Right? Like, what he talked about was actually fairly illuminating if you want to listen to it, because what he said was, this is how things go with the rich people I hang out with, and the rich people I hang out with don't want their woman out here hanging out with black people, even if she's black.
Bomani, did any of this make you angry? Anything?
No. Like, I mean, the things that Sterling did, I don't want to make this too personal, but this is a very important thing to me. I had a very good friend of mine die on Friday night going into Saturday in Chicago, named Leonore Draper. She had planned an anti-violence rally, and she attended that rally that she helped organize on Friday and died that night on her block, and we have no idea who shot her. We probably will never know who wound up shooting her. We hear all this stuff that goes on in Chicago and all these people who die, who lose their lives. On one hand, we lose the humanity because there's so many people that we don't think to personalize them. I just gave it a person. She and I were close enough that she put me in her husband's wedding party because of the level of close we are. These are people I've seen. I watched her grow into a person that would organize a rally like the one after which she died, right? All that stuff that's happening in Chicago is a byproduct of housing discrimination. I was talking to somebody today who would tell you there are large swaths of land in Chicago in between, like, the south suburbs and downtown, just on the south side, that people simply don't live in. Because in Chicago, when black people moved to that city from the south in the 1940s and 1950s, white people got the hell out of Dodge. They built a freeway system that ran through black neighborhoods, and the whole purpose of that freeway system was to get white people from the suburbs into their jobs safely without having to make any stops in between. That's what housing discrimination does. Housing discrimination is the biggest reason that we could point to historically for why we got all these dead kids in Chicago fighting for turf, fighting for real estate with poor accommodations and facilities and everything that you're supposed to have within the city, poor education, all of this, because the tax dollars and everything else decided to move away. And a lot of people like to use as a strategy to avoid that. It's like to find an apartment in one of those nice neighborhoods so then they can send their kids to nicer schools and have a chance for their kids to go somewhere in life. Instead, when you can't do that, you wind up in basically where, like, these neighborhoods that are created by apartheid, and they're desolate, and they're dangerous, and they're frightening, and we just have whole generations of people that we have given up on. And the biggest reason that this sort of thing has happened is because jackwagons like Donald Sterling make this decision that they do not want black people or Mexicans or anybody else living near these pristine white people who are trying like hell to get away from us, and then point at us and wonder why all your stuff is messed up. That's the stuff that Donald Sterling has been doing forever. Everybody talks about that settlement in 2009. He was originally sued in 2003 for this housing discrimination. In 2006, we got a hold of the paperwork where he says that black people smell and attract vermin and that Mexicans just sit around and drink all day. His wife was going around to those properties, knocking on the door like it's some Henry Ford stuff, and taking inspection, posing as though she worked for the government while she was tracking the ethnicities of the people who lived in their buildings. And you're going to come to me and talk about what's going on with Donald Sterling and his mistress? Are you kidding me? That stuff was real. That stuff matters. That stuff literally kills people. And everybody and their mom is so charged up about Donald Sterling. So I'm going to go to a funeral next week for somebody who took somebody else's bullet, because that city's become a war zone, and the people that have money and the people who could possibly do something to fix it ignore it and go to their homes in the south suburbs that for the last 70 years people have tried their damnedest to keep black people out of, but I'm supposed to get charged up because Donald Sterling said his rich friends don't want his black mistress to be around black people. People need to get their heads out their clavins and realize that this here is fun to talk about, but this is nothing. The real stuff that happened was that. So
when all these guys get up here and stand on their soapbox and wag their fingers and start talking about, oh, we won't tolerate this racism, we won't tolerate what Donald Sterling said, what they're not tolerating about Donald Sterling is the fact that what he said was impolite and what he said was gauche. That's what their problem is. But when Donald Sterling was out here toying with people's lives on things that really matter, it matters of life and death, the media, the NBA, the sponsors, and all these people now who want to get patted on the back for what good people they are didn't say a mumbling word. They can all kiss my behind, every single one of them, because when we start looking at all these people in these lists who are dying as an economic byproduct of the people like Donald Sterling, and you now have a problem because, oh, my God, he said something that intimated that he doesn't respect his players, I'm calling you out as a fraud.
It cannot be said better than that anywhere. It is also dispiriting. Like, it is. There's an element of it that's just totally dispiriting, Bomani, because this is going to be the news cycle and the noise cycle for the next, however long this lasts. And what you just said right there can't creep its way into the news cycle.
Keegan with your headline news. The head of a Valley real estate company has been convicted of real estate fraud. 47-year-old Andrea Shabazz of Youngstown is expected to be sentenced September 3rd. Investigators say he fraudulently obtained and resold soon-to-be-demolished properties to his clients in the Youngstown area. There's a good chance that this morning YSU's Board of Trustees will make a decision on a choice for the school's new president. There's a meeting set for 7.
When you or a loved one faces a challenge, you need services that only a dedicated and heartfelt professional can provide. Caring Hearts of the Valley will help when family and friends are unable to provide the necessary care that you or your loved one truly needs. Caring Hearts of the Valley offers dependability, true peace of mind, and pure joy to make life easier and allow you to live it to the absolute fullest. Life care services range from companion care and hygiene assistance to 24/7 home care, as well as elder care, skilled nursing services, and more. Kid care from Caring Hearts of the Valley is compassionate, fully screened babysitter and nanny services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Caring Hearts of the Valley, 6550 Seville Drive in Canfield, bringing more convenience, more dependability, and more peace of mind to you and your family. Call 330-531-6110, online at valleycaringhearts.com, and be sure to like us on Facebook and share with your friends. Caring Hearts of the Valley, touching lives, encouraging hearts.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all-natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We were listening to Bomani Jones, and he does a show on ESPN2. And Jeff and I were sitting here, and I listened to it this morning, and I was like, wow, he really said it. This has been going on for a long time, and the only thing we can be upset about is because he doesn't want his girlfriend hanging out with black men.
He nailed it. I mean, Tracy, he nailed it.
That's what I'm saying. He did. The question is, why don't we get it?
Because most people think that when people commit crime, they're just bad people and that they just got bad hearts, they're stupid, ignorant. It's just because you don't live around these people. You don't stay around them. You don't interact with any blacks. So you think that when a guy robs somebody or sells drugs, he's just stupid and evil, and that's that. And we just right talk them up. This guy couldn't get a job. His father's been locked up. He doesn't have any way to feed his family. He got a kid. He can't get a job because he had a juvenile case. He doesn't have the money to get his record expunged. So he's funneled into this way of thinking because you don't see no way out. So that's it. I mean, that he's nailed it. And when he said economic ramifications of people's actions, what he's saying is that's sundown mentality. the FHA and Housing and Urban Development actually created this way of thinking, this system that moved all the poor whites out in the suburbs, and the poor blacks had to stay in the city. This is documented. So, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's like everybody's mad at Donald Sterling for the wrong reasons, because he was implicit with the whole housing discrimination thing as well.
Now you know why though, Eric? Because this is what happens. We just had this election the other day, right? And these people are so trained that they did not come out to vote because nobody told them.
Nobody mobilized them
and got them out to get out the vote. We got to do it.
We suppressed the vote.
Yeah. We didn't suppress the – who suppressed the vote Tuesday? Somebody tell me.
It's kind of funny who's really suppressing the vote here, you know?
That's the question.
But if you have no power and wealth to influence an election, what's the big deal about coming out to vote? That's not going to do anything for you.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. We have conditioned people to only move when we tell them to move. It's like we blow a whistle and they awake like zombies. They go do what we tell them to do, and then we blow another whistle and they go back to la la land.
Yeah, it's like we got a flash mob mentality in this country now.
Yeah, that's good. That's crazy. And I'm not quite sure how you blow the whistle to wake them up and say, hey, the house, their roof is on fire.
We're going to need some water or the damn apple's going to burn. that's the song now. I ain't trying to do nothing. But think about it. I wish I could do this weekly in front of a crowd of inner city living people. So, and because you have all strata there, you have poor and you have rich living in the inner city.
But you know what? When we sit down and talk, Jeff, and you and I do this on an ongoing basis,
mm-hmm.
and we sit down and talk with people who you would think that would go back to their organizations and say, you know what? We're on fire. We need some water, and we need for you guys to get a bucket. Why don't they do that? They don't get it. Is it that they don't care? Because you know, it's not like we don't talk to them.
It's like
we talk to so many
down.
People every week with influence. What'd you say, Eric?
It's like the house is burning down, and all we care about is what the firefighters say in his private conversations.
Pretty much.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty much.
Eric, that's another one. That's a good one.
And
they bring a teaspoon of water to pull it out. So I'm like, here, put this on it.
I think Old Money made a good point when he was talking about whites being quiet, because it's almost like we go and we start a business and we make a system whereby we get paid every Friday, and we make a mistake in how we make the system pay us on Friday, and you get 10 times as much as I do. And although we're in a business together, you don't want to come and say, you know what, let's sit down and set this up so we can get, because it's tilted in your direction. So a lot of people that are quiet, that's what he's saying. He's saying a lot of whites are quiet because things are going in their direction. They're benefiting from, they can care less. But it's tilted. But they need something every once in a while to say that they're not sitting there being quiet. So, and this is one of those issues, because there's no real power to be benefited from for blacks if this guy loses his position.
But this is the issue. We major on the minors. So we think we got something because they're going to take it. They're going to take his team and sell it, and he's going to make some money, and he can't go to the game no more. We really think we did something. This has been going on for years. Bomani actually said he did this 8 years ago, and no one would actually respond.
That's what I'm talking about.
He said he wrote about incidents of him and discrimination in housing 8 years ago. And the NAACP, the media, nobody said a thing. And he was the owner of the Clippers then. So what's the difference between then and now?
Yeah, he got an award from the NAACP after that article was put out.
That's what I'm saying. So tell me, what was the difference between 8 years from 8 years when it happened to now, and his girlfriend comes out with a tape? And why don't we hear more about it? Why aren't we saying more about it? And even now, with all this being said, you don't hear people talking about just how deep this runs, and it's not just Donald Sterling. But we don't want to say nothing.
You know, I'm just flabbergasted.
Why are you flabbergasted?
Because the people, I don't understand how they think.
You
or how they don't think. How could you possibly not see what's going on here?
Because when you are under a trance, if you look at people who are hypnotized, they only do things based on triggers. And we have hypnotized a whole classification of people, both white and black. I'm not going to leave all y'all out. To only move when we tell you to move, only go when we tell you to move. And we have actually brainwashed you and manipulated you into thinking that you're awake when you're truly asleep.
Right.
And so how do you understand someone who barks like a dog on command?
I know that's right.
Good morning, Corvita man.
I think that, if you guys can hear me, I think that some of this has to do with how people classify racism.
White supremacy. Go ahead.
How they classify racism, that instead of looking at racism as a structure of power and money and wealth and influence and historical facts and evidence, they just trim it off to it's only about the N-word. If this person didn't call that person the N-word, then they're not a racist. And it's white codification, right? There's ways they codify things to where they can practice racism, white supremacy, but don't have to say that they're practicing racism, white supremacy. So as long as they don't say that they're doing it, then a lot of people just turn it back to it. They ignore it. And I think that's for, you know, a lot of times that's what black people have been saying for forever. You know, this is code speak or
you talking in code speak right now.
Look at the institutions of racism, and only thing you will hear in return is, oh, he's playing the race card, and then that's supposed to, like, a fire extinguisher put out the flame.
Do you know,
it never does.
You know what has happened? We have cried wolf for so long that we don't even know what the wolf looks like. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, Tracy. You know, it's like the story of Peter and the wolf, you know, and now you're yelling and screaming, and nobody knows what the heck you're talking about now. And I've heard enough about codes for years, and when somebody said something that's code for racism and so on and so forth, look, the words that come out of your mouth are the words that come out of your mouth, okay? So let's get away from this code stuff, man. You know, folks don't know what you're talking about.
But see, this is the issue.
South Carolina knows exactly what you're talking about.
But this is the issue. We try to go too deep. It's not people do what people do. But we need to understand what we do to ourselves and what we allow to be done to us. What's being done to us is we are being bamboozled in a major way. We really are. Because we're looking for codes, and there are no codes. We're looking for hidden agendas, and there are no hidden agendas in that respect. And we are allowing ourselves to be underestimated because we always think that we need a handout instead of somebody coming and giving me a hand up. See, I need to get out of the poverty that I'm in. I need to think for myself. I need to get an education. I need to become better than what I am. I need to create my own economic development. I need to create my own worth so that I can become somebody and not depend upon anyone else for my livelihood. And what we keep on doing is they won't give me no minimum wage. I don't need a minimum wage job. I need to make $100 an hour. I need my money to work for me when I'm not working for it. That's what I need. I don't need minimum wage.
Tracy, I agree with everything you just said. I think the thing with Covina Man, what he was saying with the code, and I agree with him, is that when people, if you look demographically at where the wealth is in this country, it's held by people his age. People that they say, well, he's an old school guy. You know, he's from a different era, a different time. People thought like that. Problem is, those guys got all the wealth. Those guys got all the power and influence. And when he sells this team, he's still going to flex his muscles and do what he does. And so when people, you listen at things, I don't think it's cold like anything he says. Oh, it's racism. I think we do scream it a lot of times when we really just got bad. We just can't meet certain standards. Then we scream racism. I think that happened, but it is out there. And I think we have to identify it. And when you look at how power, wealth, and influence flows, and you're telling me 8% of the people are just smarter and more powerful than every other person in the world, then you got to start understanding, you know, looking at history and how things operate. And there are some things that have taken place, and there are systems out there. They do exist. And the best thing about a system is if you see the system, but you keep your mouth shut and don't say anything, because, hey, I'm the one getting all these benefits. I'm not going to say something and, quote, unquote, even the playing field, then that, I think that's what Covina Man's getting at.
But, see, this is the issue. I agree. You know, I agree with all that. But I do. But a lot of it is up to me. We are being led by people who say they are for us, and in actuality, they are against us. All they're doing is making money on us. Because black and poverty make money.
That's right. And listen, all the money that's poured into poor communities throughout America, see, this is where America will get judged by God if you believe in God, too, because God talks about merchandising the poor and how you're going to pay a price for it. They are merchandised, whether you're black, you're poor white, poor black, poor Hispanic, poor whatever. In this country, they run you. You don't have a choice. You are theirs. You belong to them. It's just as bad as if you were in a slavery.
It is. And I'm trying to convince people, you don't understand that you are a commodity. People buy and sell you on the marketplace, and you don't realize it.
Yeah, when all you want is $150 tennis shoes, it only costs $9 to make, you're making people rich.
And they know it.
I was going to say, man, I think that you guys' message would never, ever sell to black people because it makes absolutely no
sense. You know why it doesn't make sense? Because you've been trained by white liberals for so doggone long, you can't think beyond the end of your freaking nose. That's why it don't make sense. It's
no,
so
just,
stupid of you. Listen.
That's all you got.
You
man.
Didn't
all
come
you
out and vote.
Stupid. That's it.
You know why I do it? Because that's what you are, and that's what you're acting, because you refuse facts.
You
refuse facts. You put facts right in front of your face, and you go to some other kind of foolishness. Now, the man was 100% on point.
God's going to judge you. That's all you got. You ain't got no logic. That's all you got.
I just gave you logic. You don't have a brain.
Listen, I'm not trying to get into a personal confrontation between you two, because I think what you just said was completely asinine. It is true, what I'm saying. And you have to acknowledge that in our community, we are being bamboozled.
The women
have
won.
A lot of people, and we are not doing anything about it. It is the truth, whether you like the truth or not. You can have to speak truth to power, and that's real. And we're being sold a bill of goods because we have not become independent and where we can stand on our own two feet. And I'm not blaming Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, or liberals. What I'm saying is there is an operation that is working against you, and you are getting ready to be nullified, and no one wants to pay attention to it. You're killing your kids. You're incarcerated. Your men are no good, and your women are nothing but toys. That's a problem.
That's just buckets of words. You may make it.
You know what, Covina Man? Take a break.
And Covina Man, I apologize for calling you personally stupid. I'm saying that the idea of this is absolutely doesn't make any sense for you to be going down the same road that you go down all the time.
But let me say this. Welfare reform is not reforming you. It's reforming the community and putting you into another box. We need to come off of welfare. We need to come out of the trenches. We need to come out of being dependent on the system.
30 cents on every welfare dollar spent gets to the people that need it. Now, doesn't that kind of scream we need to redo this system?
redo the system, you need to come off the system.
Well, I agree, but the thing is, don't you need to set it up so it helps somebody? But you know, this down on the luck, because I'm not in this country. I think we should. We have enough here to help people that are down and out, but we do not have to support people and pay them to stay down and out. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
make more money.
70%,
go ahead.
70% of that 70% of that dollar goes to that massive institution called welfare. The people running
yeah.
the system, they're the ones getting rich.
And the women, and the rest of the, and the women, and the other 10% goes to the incarcerated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's crazy. It's just as crazy.
And then we want to talk about, you know, well, it's the no. I've got to take ownership of what's going on around me. Go ahead, Diva.
Oh, I'm just listening.
But listen, I'm going to take a break while y'all listen. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
About a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for...
Oh, being a man. Thank you. Oh, being a man.
I think Jeff ticked him off and he left.
I don't, you know, I honestly don't get the why everybody should, why are they even at odds? I mean, it's like he didn't really say nothing that really should have been at odds. I mean, as the thing with Jeff, I think when they made that point about, you can blame black people. You can. I mean, you can do that. I mean, to, you know, if you don't take responsibility for yourself, then, I'm sorry, yeah, you have to take, and that's most of it. But then at the same time, on a macro, you have to step back and say, yeah, you blame black people, but what was done so they have to do this? What was done to place them? If you look at the, you know, and then when you start talking about history, you know, people accuse you of hate, but the fact is, the facts are the facts. So it's kind of, you know, a double-edged sword. I don't disagree, really.
Right, and I think that's where our problem lies. When we're arguing about, when we're fighting each other based on something so common that should pull us together, such as racism, and in a system that basically supports systemic racism, but yet we're at odds with each other. We're arguing over semantics.
I'm putting it like this. I believe systemic racism exists, but how do your tax returns look? What's your credit score? What are you building towards? What do you have? Like, what are you, you know, I mean, that's the thing I look at. Don't cry and you haven't given any effort. Don't cry and you haven't went out and done something. That's what I hate. But I think a lot of us, yeah, racism. Then we go sit back down at our comfortable, safe, low jobs, and we don't try nothing. We're not going to own and control
something.
And that's
what I was talking about.
Alabama, you hit the nail on the head, man. When you talk about, you know, the difference between a 300 credit score and an 850 credit score, that's all the difference in the world, man.
Okay, but we also know it's not all the difference in the world. Because we know prior to a certain time, your credit score didn't matter. And even in business, even to this day, your credit score does not matter. Your dollars does not necessarily matter all the time. We know that. You can't simply deny it.
I'm down here in one of the quote-unquote most racist states in Alabama. If I go in a bank with a 700 credit score and X amount of down percentage-wise, I'm sorry. The loan's going to go through. I've seen it. I've lived it. And
okay.
I dealt with racism. Hold on, let me make a point. And I dealt with racism.
You have to have an excellent credit score, and you have to have a certain amount down, but your white counterpart is going to get zero down and probably a lower credit score and get the same loan.
I didn't even have good credit. When I first went in, I went as a pump. It's called hard money. See, when you want something, you find a way
ways to get it done. It's called hard money. In real estate, you can go and buy a house without credit based on the deal itself. That give, they give you 65% LTV, loan to value, and you can get out there and buy houses in less than 30 days, closing. Now, you have to, you're going to get hit on the interest, but then once you do that, you manage it right, you fix the property, and it depends on where your market is. You do your proper homework, average days on the market, all that. These houses sell, and bam, there you go. Now you got some cash. Now you can go to the bank with some cash. Not have to do hard money anymore. But that's how I got started.
Hey, Alabama, I was muted, man. That's why I couldn't respond. But
I figured he muted you.
Yeah.
I think we need to make our goal gaining wealth, power, and influence, period, like Dr. Claus talks about. If you're not going to do that, shut up. Just shut up. If you're not going to do nothing, then just sit down. Let the other people that's trying to do something do something. A lot of black folks ain't never even went in the bank, sat down and talked and tried to get along, but they want to talk about racism.
But we've never – see, this is the problem. We got off the subject of the video – Tracy played the commentary that the man was talking about, and we went on to something completely different. And that's where the think we get lost in the soft.
Well, this is talk radio, baby. This is talk radio, though.
Alabama. Hold on.
Go ahead.
The fact of the matter is, the guy was talking about a real problem that we as black Americans face. And you guys go off not discussing that. You guys go off talking about, well, whose fault is that? Blah, 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 this and that. I think that's the
truth. He talked about it, too. He said it was their fault.
He told the truth.
No, he didn't say it was their fault. That's not what he said.
He said that they went and tried. They sat and ignored, and they caused a lot of these problems by their economic practices.
No, that is not what he was talking about. He was upset that now we're bringing about Donald Sterling. Just of what he was talking about was dealing with the fact of Donald Sterling's old practices and his systemic racism in the culture of wealthy people like him that has caused economic hardship for people like us.
Right.
Okay, same thing. Ain't that what I just said?
Yeah. That's what Donald Sterling said. But when Tracy and then came back and responded to it, they said nothing about that. They went and started blaming black folks and how black folks are voting politically or something like that. It had nothing to do with what the dude said.
Yeah, voting, screw voting, man. Voting ain't going to do nothing for black folks.
And
you better get you some power.
And it was sitting at, and that's where the frustration came, because the guys basically said it was the racist practice of, like, Donald Sterling and the friends he hang out with, we all know is basically wealthy white people, wealthy Europeans or whoever. And their practices that caused us to be in a situation that we have ended up in generation after generation. He talked about how housing discrimination is the biggest burden, the biggest blotch on the African-American population, and how that whole system came about. But nobody addressed that. All you want to do is say, oh, no, it's
great,
black
Tracy,
people.
Tracy, I mean, I did sit up there and talk about sundown towns and housing, urban development, and FHA. I said that, so don't say nobody talked about
He's not even really talking about...
You're talking about housing discrimination in where? In public housing?
No, he's talking about housing discrimination, period.
He's talking about how when black people increased their economic status, they moved into better neighborhoods. Well, the better neighborhoods are out of the ghettos and the hood. Well, when those black people started moving into those neighborhoods, white people, what he was saying was white people moved out of them to get away from those black folks. So what happened was, then they started creating systems in practices such as Donald Sterling, starting to discriminate against who can live among them. That's what he was talking about. So then he was talking about how when you have heavy concentration of poverty, you end up with situations like Chicago. And he's blaming housing discrimination on the situations that you have in Chicago. And he was putting the story in the friend who got killed. I ain't looking at it like that. Y'all just heard his words like about Donald Sterling, how this is not new and this is funny, and he's upset how people are now.
I think you wasn't listening, because we talked about sundown towns. I talked about the housing and urban development. I talked about FHA discrimination. I talked about white flight. I mentioned all that.
It ain't just Chicago.
I look at Youngstown. I look at Youngstown. I look at Warren. And I see how heavy. When you look at any basically low-income area.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Politician saying we should have a, quote, conversation about race. That means we foresee a violating, which would likely lead nowhere. Sad truth is that from the president on down, our leadership has no clue, no clue at all, about how to solve problems within the black community. And many are frightened to even broach the issue. That's because race hustlers and the grievance industry have intimidated the so-called conversation.
They will call them race hustlers, and it is an industry. I don't think you understand that. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. You are an industry. And who is making the money? That is it. That's South Carolina. Jeez.
Oh, sorry, Eric, because typically that's you. Normally
it's
that's
always
you.
It's always South Carolina making that noise in the background.
Jeez, no, usually Eric be making some noise. Eric got beepers and everything going on. I mean, I don't think you understand that you are an industry. People make money off of you every day. Keeping you in poverty makes money. People get jobs. They get retirement funds. Their money works for them by you being impoverished. And the only way for you to stop them making money off of you is for you to become independent. And they don't want you to do that. So they keep you where they are so they can do what they have to do.
Tracy, that clip that you played with that one a guy was talking, what you're saying is not in response to what he was saying, is it? Because that has nothing to do with what he was saying. I'm just trying to make sure.
What?
Because we were trying to kind of be confused here. What you're saying right now had nothing to do with the guy on the video or whatever that you played.
Which one?
He was talking about Donald Sterling, housing discrimination.
Same thing.
Okay.
No. It's the same thing because remember, what he said about Donald Sterling, he wrote that article 8 years ago. This was not new. People knew how Donald Sterling was. The NBA knew about Donald Sterling. These lawsuits were already there. They knew about this.
I don't think he was really talking about in just the context of Donald Sterling. I think he was talking about a broader picture. People like Donald Sterling, the people he hung out with, and how they systematically made rules and policies to disenfranchise black people. And it caused us to be in the situations that we end up in. That's what he was saying.
But, Diva, it was multifaceted because what he said was, you have to understand, he wrote this article about Donald Sterling and his wife 8 years ago when the lawsuits were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone ignored them.
But did you read the actual article?
Yes.
Okay.
Did he go into a broader context about... Yes, Diva, okay. Yes. Listen to what I'm saying. We are focusing on the minors of everything instead of on the majors.
I get what you guys are saying is that him having this conversation with his mistress should not be the focal point. Yes, we need to get beyond that. We need to look at the bigger picture. We need to look at what people like him are doing and how they're setting up. Because he talked about the culture, and he was just basically going along with what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about how it was up to me to come and tell you what Donald Sterling was doing 8 years ago and how we keep our mouth shut and how we go after his team instead of going after him and his whole team completely. His wife's talking about, well, I'm not giving up my 50% of the team. I'm talking about the economics of this. I'm talking about how we are used every day.
Okay, so you're looking at it from the standpoint of Donald Sterling. He was talking about something bigger, broader. I'm just trying
I'm talking about both. Narrow this down. What I'm saying is we are losing. We are losing at this game. Because we're the only ones being treated as fodder. We're dispensable. We get plucked off all the time and no one does anything about it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, Tracy, so when the guy wrote the article 9 years ago, people should have been in an uproar and so on and so forth. But if you don't have, as people would point out, if you don't have the economic power or something to do.
Economic power?
Well, for one, I didn't know about
it. I'm almost done with my point. Let me just finish my point. If you don't have the power to push him out, you can't do nothing. But however, since he said something that violated the code of white speak, that is let me finish my point. To actually verbalize his disgust with black people, that violated the code. White people who do have the power decided, well, we own the NBA, we can own your team, we're going to force you to sell, we can do that. Black people, folks don't have that ability.
Covina, man, you are so narrow in your thinking. It is a travesty for you to be as bright as you can be and be so narrow in how you think.
What did I say was wrong, Tracy?
You're trying to tell me that, listen, do you know how many people have Clippers gear? Like I said, even with right now, we're going to expel Donald Sterling from the Clippers or from the NBA. And I don't know if you heard, but his wife said, well, I'm not giving up my 50%. I'm not selling my 50% of the Clippers. And I'm separated from him. I'm even considering divorce. Now, if you go back to what Bomani said, he told you that his wife used to go out into the properties that he owns and to find out who lived there and to find out what was going on there. So she had the same mindset that he had. And we think we've done something because we expelled Donald Sterling from the NBA when I said last week we should have expelled the Clippers from the NBA. So we think that we've got something and we have nothing. And so people that are representing us saying, oh, yes, yay, they did the right thing. The NBA did the right thing. No, they didn't. No, they're not. They're still looking at their own interests. They're not looking out for yours. And the question is, when are people going to start looking out for the interests of you? That's the issue. Because you're still being bought and sold for price. And you get nothing out of it. Nothing. That's the problem. When you think you've won, you still have lost.
Tracy, I'm not going to dispute your point because I don't find it. But the thing is, I'm going to say that people can come to you and say, well, why are you participating in NBA anyway? It's owned by white people. Why don't you go out and create your own NBA league? Why don't you go out and draft your own players and come up with your own league and just compete with the NBA? Blase, blase. You can go with that all day. And then the Mexican people can say the same thing. Well, I won't start
own NBA. Covina, man, this is not about playing. This is about a whole culture. This is more than just the NBA. This is more than the NFL. This is a whole culture of things that are going on, and we're losing. This is about your politics. This is about your sports, about your entertainment, and about your education, about your financial economic development. It's about the whole ball of wax. It's not just about Donald Sterling. It's bigger than that.
This is what I don't get. I don't understand why we're even having a disagreement. I don't think any of us is disagreeing that it's bigger than Donald Sterling. Why amongst black people do we have to argue about racism, systemic racism, what it is and what it's not? We've all basically experienced it. We should be able to sit around and say, yeah, this is happening, that's happening.
Because
don't do about it.
Because, and it's not, in South Carolina, it's not that he does not experience racism. He just deals with it differently. Because we're too busy calling people non-black Uncle Toms, and they don't understand it. And what I'm trying to say is it doesn't matter what goes on, because when I go down the street, I'm still a black woman, and they don't know what my politics is. They don't know anything about me. They don't know. All they know is I'm African-American, I'm black, I'm a Negro, and I'm colored. That's all. We're all lumped in one bunch. And what I'm saying is we are being bought and sold on every level. And even when we acquire wealth, we still stay on the plantation and we don't bring people out. And bringing people out doesn't mean bringing them out one at a time, coming out, well, I'm going to give this a million. That's not what you do by bringing people out. You bring them out in masses. Hey, 314, your mic is on. I think you said you, Pionki.
See, y'all still talking about racism.
Well, no. How this happened is I played Bomani, and Bomani talked about how Donald Sterling has been for years. He wrote about this 8 years ago, and more people read his blog and his article in the last week than they did 8 years ago. And how he looks at Donald Sterling, and this is really, it's really funny to him what's going on, but the real root of the problem is HUD, housing problems. Things that have happened in our community over the years that no one would say anything about, that they knew about. We always are glossing over stuff that happens every day.
What Donald Sterling was doing was not breaking the law. So it's not illegal.
What?
I don't know whatever he was doing. If he was hating somebody, he got a right to hate
somebody. He was breaking the law.
His court case, when he was brought to court, that was never a judgment on that. He just settled out of court.
He was breaking the law. He broke the law. They just got paid to shut. Here we go. They got paid to shut up, so they got theirs, and they said the heck with everybody else.
Well,
Martin Luther King took a bullet so we could survive. Now we just sell it. You give me a settlement and I'm straight. Let everybody else get theirs on their own.
Well, you know, some people, whatever Donald Sterling, I can contend. That's some people I don't want living next to me.
No, Pionki, this is not about some people.
My daughter live on five acres in the middle of it because she says she don't want no neighbors.
Pionki, no. You all just gone ignorant for a while. I know there's a big lake in front of her house.
I don't care.
Y'all just ignorant.
That's him.
Y'all just ignorant.
That's him.
Just straight up ignorant.
Gotta know that.
That ain't old. That's ignorant.
A lot of people, Tracy, that people look at as thugs and criminals and hood rats and hoochies or whatever. A lot of times those people are byproducts of not being born in the right zip code, not being born in the right situation. So that is understood. I mean, if you took Andrew Rockefeller, Carnegie, and got rid of them, there'd be a lot more black thugs around here too.
If you listen to Teresa Davis, Sammy Davis' daughter, talk about the things he went through, that was racism. This stuff that Donald Sterling is doing is not no
Pionki.
Well, look,
sweetie, you need to listen to what...
I call you sweetie. Let me tell you something. You ain't experienced no racism today like Sammy Davis did.
Pionki, listen, sweetie, darling, honey.
What's stopping you from doing something, Trey?
You're right. That's not what we're talking about. You're right. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what we're talking with systemic racism that we gloss over, that we need to do something about, that we buy our way out of as long as I get a check.
Well, give me an example.
It's real. Housing developments and discrimination.
Well, what about the housing developments?
The redlining is still going on today. 718, your mic is on.
Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to make a comment. I just want to say real quick that I understand everybody speaks of racism. And from my perspective, I say it's a mentality of the people and the level of intelligence of the people. Because when you live in certain neighborhoods, you see something. You see people who probably don't work, but they got neighborhood clothes on. You see people who probably are working, but you can see the pattern of the things that they do. Every Friday, they're probably going to the club or they're going to the liquor store. You know, you see things like that. So somebody with the business mentality would be like, hey, I can make some money out here. And then there's that other mentality where you may want to build a certain type of business, but if you build it, you can't completely be yourself because this is all people like and this is all they're going to purchase from your business, so you're just going to get what people like. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't think that it's always so much of racism. And just real quick, you know, not only am I building business for myself, I know two other people. They're black women. They own businesses. But their businesses are not known as black-owned businesses. It's just what they are. And even with myself, I don't want my business to be known that it's owned by a black woman. I just want my business to be my business. So, you know, this is just the perspective that I have come to throughout my years, that I don't think it's just always about racism. I think it's about the mentality of the people. And then, you know, the business person. And that's just how I see that aspect of it.
Let's slow this down for just a minute because I'm going to run out of here in a few minutes. Listen, I'm talking about underlying systemic root of racism. We go after the words people say and we call them racist and we think that we've done something. Zimmerman. We have a problem with Zimmerman. And we say, oh, you know, he's a racist, and we go down and march. But we don't deal with the laws and how the police handled the investigation and how they took the word of Zimmerman and the root of the problem. We don't deal with that. See, I'm not talking about we go after the cause and the effect of the racism. We don't go after what's really going on here. And that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm not going – see, we deal with Donald Sterling said this, and he don't want black people to go to the Clippers, and we think we've done something because they stripped him from the team, but they don't understand everybody else still makes money around the surface of it because they're not dealing with the root of the problem.
Hold on.
I am a black business, and I don't go out and get an MBE. I am just Tracy. I want to have a good business, and I want to cross all color lines. I want to cross all genders, all races. I just want to have a good business and a good business model. That's all. But what I'm saying is if you're going to deal with the fruit of a thing, you've got to deal with the root of a thing. And the root is we need to deal with the laws. Right now, you still have people dying in the streets of Chicago every night because of poverty. Poverty is a part of a racist systemic root that we won't deal with. Entitlements, they're not helping us.
But, okay, Tracy.
It's still a mentality of the people. You have to still look at that as well. I can't sit here and blame white supremacy for everything. And I'm not saying you're doing it. I'm just saying I can't do that. It's the mentality of the people. Let's take, for example, people who live in like the projects. There's a mentality of waiting for somebody to fix something, waiting for this, waiting for a transfer, as opposed to someone who lives in the house. You can't wait. You have to fix that stuff yourself. You have to get up and do it yourself. You have to make moves if someone else can't do it for you. That's all psychological. You understand what I'm saying?
What we need to be looking at is why so much concentration of black poverty in one area to where we end up in situations like Chicago where there's a lot of killing, Youngstown, there's a lot of killing. Now, white poverty is different. When I drive into impoverished areas of Pataskala, it's not so much as they're killing each other off, but you do have your drugs. Meth is a big problem in that area.
But Diva, listen. That goes to the fruit of the problem and not the root of it. The root of it is they will not give you the means for economic growth. They will not give you the means for a good education. They don't want you to have education choice. They don't want you to attain that which you need so that you can get yourself out of what you're in. And that's where in
the
problem.
So what do you do,
Tracy?
And that's what
you do.
I agree. That's
Alabama.
What
you
look.
So what you do is, one, you wake up and you find out that you're being used.
True.
And then you empower yourself, and you say, as battered women do, I will never be beaten again.
True.
And then you walk away from the situation that you're in. And no matter what it takes, you keep on going.
True.
Walk away how?
I
said, at this point in time, any parent that's able to should homeschool their children.
It's deeper than that, but it's a beginning. If I'm not homeschooling my children, if I'm still collecting a welfare check, I'm going to capitalize on that check to get me out of the system that I'm in. So I'm going to use the system to get out.
When you look at all of our impoverished areas where black people are concentrated, they are governed by Democrats. Black people tend to vote Democrat because they don't like the Republican Party, but yet they don't hold these Democrats accountable to the situations that they're in, the economic situation, the education situation.
Yeah.
So basically what we need to do is start saying, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to vote for you just because I don't trust the other guy, no, I'm going to start holding you accountable. If it means the other guy gets in, then so be it, because I'm looking at you like you're supposed to be doing something for me. You promised me something, and we're supposed to make this situation better, but I keep voting, and the situation's not getting better.
That's what I'm speaking of. See, Tracy said something beautiful here. She said, in order to get to the fruit, you have to get to the root, and the root is the foundation of what holds the trees together and whatever else in nature, right? So we have to go back to simple principles. We have to go back into integrity, an initiation system. Our people do not have this. You know, you want to know the condition of – you have to look at something. Why are these young men in these neighborhoods behaving as 12-year-olds? You know, why are they not young men? Why are they not completing their homes? Why are they not – because they have not been taught the importance of what it is to complete something. They have not been taught integrity. They have not been taught basic universal principles in their home. That's the root. That's what's missing. Not no politics, not no voting.
Hold on, listen, wait a minute, I gotta take a break. But listen,
okay.
Mitzi, you are right. But it is, and I will always say this, it is multifaceted. Because see, what happens is if you're raising your young men and he's still going out and he's still getting stopped by the police for walking down the street and just being black, and you are allowing your political system to allow that to happen, you've got a problem.
But
he should not have to bow down and not look the policeman in the eye when they pull him over, because he's a man, and he needs to be treated with respect.
Right.
So we need to deal. Hold on. We need to deal with we need to deal with that also. So I have to be able to give him integrity. I need to show him how to show respect. I need to show him how to deal with this. But I also need to go and deal with the political system and tell them, you will treat my family as with respect and with dignity. You will not just pull my son over just because he's a black man walking down the street. And I'm going to teach my son, and when you see the police, you're going to respect them. Because they have authority with that shield on their uniform.
Right.
It's twofold. I need to make sure the laws make sure that if my young son gets in trouble, that he can come out and still get a job and be a productive citizen. It's twofold. I need to make sure that when I send my children off to school, that they're going to come back with an education and not just enrolling joints and how to get their little freak on. It's
multifaceted. Well, you can't control that, Tracy. That's a part of growing up, you know. That part of
No. You do control that because it was controlled with us.
Tracy, hold on.
I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. I'll be back on Monday. God bless.
House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse. Once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
And we're back without any bumper music because I couldn't get it on fast enough. Anyway, welcome back to Mornings with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. And I think she might be calling in because she got important stuff to do. So, you know, that's how it goes. That's the way it goes, and that's what's going on. Now, we were just talking about getting to the root of the cause when it comes to racism and how it is so endemic and pandemic in our society, where it affects pretty much everything that goes on. But we always attack the wrong thing. Just like we, you know, attacked when Don Imus made the, you know, the nappy-headed, you know, thing about the basketball team. It was a black basketball team of females. And he paid a huge price. But here's the goofy thing about it. Here it is, Mr. Imus had not really been racist in acting any kind of way outwardly. He was making a joke, and it was a bad joke, and he thought that he could more or less get away with it. And it was wrong what he did, but they went after his job. Went right after his job. Now, this is fascism to the most, because Don Imus has the right to think and say what he wants to in America. You have the right to not listen to Don Imus. But no, you want to go after his livelihood for what he said. not realizing that at one day that pendulum may swing and swing back up against you. So when we're talking about that, let's talk about what it is and how it is that, you know, we don't realize who's causing the failure of poor people in America, which includes a whole lot of black people, a whole lot of Hispanic people, and includes a whole lot of poor white people. Somebody is using them. Okay, who was saying something here in WSON 600 AM? Diva, did you get a chance to make your point?
I was going to make a point, Jeff. How you doing?
Hold on, Bianchi. Good, bro. Hold on. Let Diva finish.
I'm in the chat room. I was just thinking back to a post that I believe Alabama had posted on his Facebook page about what Malcolm X was saying. And basically, you know, when it gets to the point where they don't want us, we try to, instead of making our situation better, we try to force ourselves into their situation. Now I get the integration is needed in certain areas of society and life and the way of living. But when it comes to certain things, instead of us getting all loud and arguing about and, you know, like in the case of Al Sharpton, somebody say, oh, I don't want such and such here. You know, all we do is talk about it, but we never do anything to say, okay, fine, you don't want us here, that's fine. We're going to build up our own, and we're going to knock you out of business. And I completely get what Tracy was saying. I get what Kavina is saying. Some people, I don't understand what they're saying, but.
Also, I just want to add, because you said something about this man saying something about black women here being nappy. Let's just look at something really quick. We know that a lot of black people have issues with themselves, especially black women with their hair. Now, you see, if you have confidence in who you are and your culture and your people, stuff like that won't really get to you so much if you didn't have issues with yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So listen, the man can say what he want to say, give or take. Black people, we call each other here nappy. We do it all the time. But my thing is, I'm just saying with black people, we have this self-hate going on. So when someone makes comments like that, we get in an uproar. When you have confidence in yourself, you can respond to something like that, or you can completely ignore it because it's not going to be nothing that's going to be so major. But because you feel like your hair is nappy and you already don't feel good about being black or what you are, of course you're going to get more offended by him saying something like that. And
Hold on, sweetie. The girls never did say anything, okay? They never did say a word in protest or anything. It was Al Sharpton who jumped out in front of that bandwagon calling for him to resign, which was stupid. Yeah. And yes, I'm using that word again. You know why it was stupid? Because that man is a kabillionaire. Okay, he would very to apologize. He would have funded that whole school maybe for a year. You know what I'm being facetious, but I'm just saying, you tell him, hey, man, you really did this wrong and this was blah, blah. Okay, I apologize because that was wrong. I can see why it's expensive because this man brings poor everybody down to his ranch while they have cancer and lets them recover there down in Texas. Black, white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I must look racist when you say it.
No, somebody is echoing. Somebody turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Minty was saying.
Asians get made of, they get made fun of for their business pictures all the time, but you don't see them protesting trying to get people fired behind it.
That's not true. Gilbert Goff got fired.
Yeah, hold on, Top Bianchi.
Yeah, I was going to say that if Tracy mentioned something about redlining. Well, hell, insurance companies have a right to charge certain areas a more premium for a particular service than they do other areas. And in some cases, they don't even provide the service at all. You go in some of them quote-unquote ghettos where they burn houses down. Where in Detroit, where they have, in Halloween, they have where they go around burning down all the setting fire to vacant houses. What about a person that lived next door to a vacant house? Should an insurance company insure that too, with the possibility of experiencing that loss? So when you have behavior going on in certain areas, yes, it's going to cost more in order to reside and operate in those certain areas. And another thing, there's a whole lot of black folks I know that I don't want living next door to me. And if I had to buy the property next door to me in order to prevent that, I would do that.
And Jeff, here's the thing that I'm looking at, you know.
Why can't you just say you don't want a certain type of person living next to you?
Stephen, why you cut right across South Avenue?
My phone is coming in and I can't.
Okay, go ahead, Sal.
As long as we have two sets of standards, one for language and speaking, one for white folks and the other one for black folks, you know, we're not going to solve this problem. Racism is going to be artificially skewed, man. You know, if one and when you want to yell racism because somebody uses a First Amendment right to say what they want, but then on the other hand, when the other person uses that same right, you don't say nothing about racism about that. There's a problem. There's a serious problem. And I agree with Bianca. No, if I don't want somebody living next to me, I'd buy the property too. Hell, for about 5 years, I had some folks living across from me, and they were damn union.
Okay, but it's a difference when you don't want a certain type of person living next to you, and it's a difference it's a difference when you don't want that person living next to you because of their skin color and the stereotypes that you perceive. Because there is a whole bunch of people, no matter what skin color, I don't want living next to me.
But that's like saying I don't care if my neighbor sells drugs if he's a white guy. That's no. I don't want anybody.
How silly do people sound? Like you can't control who lives next. Like my neighbors are the worst, but you can't control who lives next to you. You know what I mean? I mean for people who have houses, you can build gates. I mean, if you live in an apartment, it's worse. If you have a house,
hey,
you can build a gate.
Amente. Amente, you live in an apartment building,
so
you can't control it, but you know what? Oh, yeah, you can control this next door to you in the city.
You can control it. When you live in an apartment, you have to, it's so much concentration you have to, because you have people above you, below you, next to you. You have so much going on that you have to learn how to block that out. You know what I mean?
Are you going to block out and listen to bebop music all night long? South Carolina, go ahead, bro.
Listen, you can control who lives next to you. You know, look. You go out to Hollywood. You got a gate around this house. You have a quarter mile long driveway. With security people
along the house.
You
said a house. I
said an apartment. Yeah. Where are you? Apartment buildings in New York.
That have a
doorman that won't let certain people in.
I can't tell you about no apartment. I never had to experience that.
I moved out of an apartment into a house because I didn't like who my neighbors were.
Well, there you go. You can't control it then. You left. That's a good thing, Diva. You have freedom.
Jeff, I'm jumping here.
Yeah, go ahead, Camila.
I'm just glad my whole neighborhood didn't move when a certain people look like me started moving into their neighborhood.
They couldn't afford it.
When a white neighborhood become about 30-40% black, they all move out. And I don't blame them because they have that feeling. And you can point to many instances. So they got a right to do that if they want to.
It depends on where, and that's true, they do. But go ahead, Kavina.
And blacks do the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to make two quick points. One,
go ahead.
With the freedom of speech, that Constitution says the Congress will make no law respecting someone and such or abridging. It doesn't mean that consumers can't react to if a business does X, Y, or Z, or a person, if they can't respond with their First Amendment rights to protest or ask them to be removed or boycott. That's my one point.
But,
let me jump to my second point real quick before you jump in. I'm trying to cook something. And my second point is with the housing, there was a reason why we had the Housing Rights Act in the 1960s, Civil Rights era, is because people did have the right to discriminate against people for based on race or religion or all that stuff, and that's what the law changed in 1964 or whenever that was, 67, whenever that was passed. It's now against the law to do that.
Yeah. Well, so now you really have the right to move into next to somebody who doesn't like you. Has that really improved the quality of your life? I learned something a long time ago. My mother told me that
someone's
going to like me.
Hey,
right. I mean,
has mine.
My neighbor behind me
doesn't
like
Diva.
I can care less.
Wait a minute, Diva. Hold on, Diva. When my father moved out, I got a quick story. When my father moved out on the street if you guys go to my Facebook, you'll see his house. He bought that house in 1977. And when he got to this neighborhood, they had a pact of all those neighbors right around his house that said, we're not going to sell any blacks. But the guy that owned my father's house had emphysema, and he had to move quick. And he sold to my father, who had down payment, had all everything, you know. Now, my father's a professional. There were a whole lot of other lawyers and doctors and other people on the street. Now, there shouldn't have been no issue about it, and that's what that law is for. Yeah, you have the right to move in around you. And guess what? When I built out in a predominantly white, in fact, it was all white when I first moved out there, neighborhood. And guess what? I don't care who liked me, who don't like me. I didn't buy because they liked me. I bought because I needed a house for my wife and my brand new baby. Okay, and guess what? My house is worth 50% more than what I built it for. Or 40%, excuse me.
Right.
So my point is this. Yes, it does. It can make your life better.
But it didn't help everybody, Jeff. You're one of the.
I don't care who it didn't help. I don't care what it helped me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to be any.
I used racism to help somebody one time because of those kind of attitudes, Jeff. When my stepfather died, the neighborhood right away descended upon my mother, wanted to buy the house, and they were offering her ridiculous numbers. And they were of a certain ethnic group, all of them in that neighborhood, and a white ethnic group, and they did not like black people. And they were harassing my poor mother to sell her house for a ridiculous price, a third of what it was worth. So what I did was, knowing how these people thought, I had a dear black friend who ran the local community center. You know those little pretty little yellow buses that they move the basketball teams around from city to city to play the inner city kids? I got him to take that bus, show up at my mother's house. I put a for sale sign on the lawn one day. My mother never knew I did this till the day she died. And I had my friend Hubie drive the bus up. The kids got out. They were running around the yard. Look, we could put a hoop over here. Look, we could do this. We could do that. That night, somebody came home. When my mother came home, one of the neighbors came over and said, you're not thinking of selling to black people, are you? And my mother got really mad. She said, I will sell to whoever pays my price. I don't care what color they are. 2 days later, they passed the hat and offered her $100,000 more than the house was worth. So, you know,
that's what it is. We'll be right back. Hold on. We'll be right back.
I made them pay for their attitude.
You know, in our area, you have an area called the Hill where the Italians live.
Yep.
And Italians don't put they don't put for sale signs on the front of their property.
No.
They sell by telephone to each other to keep black folks out. And if that's, of course, it's against law, but, you know, I'm not going to move in a neighborhood where people don't want me. What the hell am I going to be fighting that for? And, you know, there's an area where we live in Barrington Downs. I had a friend that stayed on Cabello. And see, when I tell stories, people can go behind me and check these streets. Just go Barrington Downs, Cabello. The average price of the house in this area is over $450,000. We had a black woman who was in a $350,000 home said she was moving because the area is becoming too black.
Well, that's, you know, people like that, that's why I say it's like, at the same time, we shouldn't care because then you don't want someone like that in a neighborhood because they're going to be causing trouble in the neighborhood, you know? Because I've seen black neighborhoods out here where if someone Indian or whatever moves into the neighborhood, they end up getting ran out. You know what I mean? Or they don't make it comfortable for them. So, you know, it's plus, you know, some neighborhoods, they have been around the people they've been around for years. Yeah. So they're family to one another. So, no, they're not going to feel comfortable with anyone trying to come in between their family, you know. So I don't really take anything like that personal. And going back to what Pianki said, I think that was Pianki, you know, I'm not going to want to move somewhere where I'm not wanted.
Yeah.
So
my daughter, when she came to have heard about how somebody got the speaker microphone.
Yeah, they got the echo.
She wanted this one location with 5 acres. I said, why you want all this? Daddy, I don't want no neighbors next to me. Mm-hmm. So that's where she lived. So people, you got black folks that don't want to live around certain types of blacks or anybody else, and that's the way they are. There's nothing wrong with that, long as you don't break the law in carrying out your wishes.
Okay.
I would love to have a house with about 10, 12 acres, you know, 5 acres on one side, 5 acres on the other side, and just live out there. And if I want to have a neighbor, I have a neighbor. I just want my own space.
Okay, but it's one thing to say I don't want neighbors. I don't want anybody living next to me. I don't want any people of bad repute living next to me. That's one thing. But to sit there and deny a person their right to move into a neighborhood that they have chosen for their family, for their situation, and you guys are going to say, well, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, they should move there anyway. I'm sorry. No, it's not okay. That family should have the right to move there, whether the people disagree if they should be there or not, especially if it's solely based on their skin color. And
if
I can't understand how we as black people have gotten to the point after Martin Luther King has been assassinated for this fight, and we've gotten to the point now where we're like, well, just don't move there.
Well, black people, if you don't want black folks living next to you, you got a right to feel that way as long as you don't stop them. If you're going to buy up the property next door, buy it up that way, you ain't got to have a black person living next to you.
It's about their feelings or attitudes. I
can
care less about their feelings or their attitudes.
And I'm playing one of the cuts from world-renowned jazz artist.
Let me say what we want to
say.
We
hope they're
going to
be here in about 10, 15 minutes. He's going to be doing a show in our area, and they've agreed to come by and holler at Tracy and friends today. And we look forward to that interview coming up at the top of the hour. So anyway, Mornings with Tracy and Friends. Everybody in the chat room, hey. We have a nice lively discussion. And somebody made a statement on my Facebook. And they said, I wish we were talking about getting along and talking about more or less the solutions. Well, these are we'll give you the solutions, because you have to be willing then to help make that happen. Because the solution is to squash the craziness. The solution is to think about making your own living. The solution is, wherever we see that the poor are being merchandised, like through the welfare system and through our political system, we need to end that. Now, because this is a free country, you have the right to vote for whoever the heck you want to, and that's fine. You do what you got to do. But when you make stupid mistakes on who you support, and like I have actually African-American people posting things called Win with Hillary.
Yeah.
This is where you keep yourself bound, stuff like this. And this is why I say.
Yeah, it's like,
if you don't know
what
an early 20th century progressive is, you only have to look to Mr. Woodrow Wilson to know. And this is who Hillary Clinton boasts. That who she is.
Yeah.
Now, David Geffen has now put his money behind Hillary to win, and so she's happy about that, I know. But very cautious, because everything is not over yet. But just watch, and we're going to bring it up. We're here on WSOM 600 AM. The number's here, 1-347-945-5229. Locally is 330
781-9600. This is Jeff in the Air Chair. We're on iHeartRadio. And there's also a WSOM app for your computer and for your Droid and iPhone or iPad. WSOM, go to WSOM.com or your Play Store. And then you can buy that app, and then you can listen to us that way as well. All over the world and all, of course, throughout the fruited plains of America and the mountains, high range, we are on the air, and we're talking to you. Now, what you guys talking about in the chat room?
We're talking about Hillary. Now, here,
yep.
I want to say this.
Hold on, Phil. You see the man talk, and then you cut right across it.
Go ahead.
If any black man in America right now thinks voting for Hillary is going to be good for him, this is all I want him to understand. The last man she was with, he ended up with Monica, and then when he retired, because she didn't need him anymore, he ended up with his office in Harlem. Now, they're going to just leave out the middle step. You black folks out there, you're going to just stay in Harlem. You ain't going to
They're
get
not
the
there
Monica
anymore.
Episode.
There's no black
Your
people
Harlem
in Harlem anymore.
Jeff,
I think it's a disgrace for somebody to dump that type of garbage vote for Hillary on your mailbox or your Facebook page.
Yeah, they said win for Hillary. What are you going to win?
More of the same.
I've met Hillary before. Before.
So have I, but I'm not impressed.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't enamored with her or Bill. They came to Youngstown several years ago and did a 4th of July speech down at a place where I do a jazz series called Jazz in the Park, the B&O in downtown Youngstown. And guess what? Guess what? That action was so crazy that not a lot of people showed up for it. But Bill made all those promises and never did do anything that he said that he was going to do. Yet these people are ready to just roll over. Hillary Clinton. I almost said it again, Kavina, man. I'm sorry.
When she talks, I can't stay awake when she talks. I mean, I don't understand why people are so enamored by her.
She's so disingenuous. If you look back at some of the old campaign stuff, she doesn't even know what city she's in. She was, I'm a big fan of the Pirates. And I go, honey, you're in the wrong city. Oh, what team? Change the ball cap, Hillary. Now you're appropriate. She just makes it up as she goes. She's a true politician, liar, weasel.
Well, no doubt about it. And don't forget
now,
that she is a 20-cent lawyer now.
Yeah.
She is a 20-cent lawyer. So, she's not stupid.
She's a very smart lady.
I just hope that people remember Vince Foster. I hope people remember Hillary Gates. And I hope people remember Benghazi. Along with this incident where she refused to call this new group, this Boca, whatever they are.
That kidnapped 300 young school-age kids, girls in Africa.
She refused to classify them. She refused to classify them as a terrorist group.
Terrorist organization.
Terrorist organization. So she's got a lot of baggage. And I'm serious though, but you need to go back and look at Vince Foster and that whole ordeal with him.
Oh yeah.
For those that don't know, Vince Foster is pushing up daisies right now.
And Jeff in South Carolina, I think that you gave the reason why black people, for no other reason, they should vote for Hillary. Because you got people that come up with the Vince Foster and all this nonsense. It has nothing to do with reality. There was a whole group. I think the whole conspiracy theory boom started.
That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact, man. Look at
Whitewater. You know.
Yeah, that's it. The whole conspiracy theory started with that whole nonsense.
That's not a conspiracy.
Then why do you think the man ended up dead then, Kavina, man?
I'm not even going there because I don't.
No, you go there, though. You're going to go there or if you're going to not talk because you're not going to skate the fact in front of me today. You're going to either talk about it and give a plausible explanation or get the heck off the phone. You know why? Because it matters. It happened. It happened. The man committed suicide with his wrong hand. He's left-handed, and the gun was in it right off of his right hand. How much a fool do you think we are? No powder burns on him. None. How much a fool do you have to be to know that there's something up here? The man didn't do nothing. He wasn't acting depressed. He had just been on TV 2 days before.
There you go. Hillary Clinton, 2016. I'm out of here. See you next week.
You know what? You do that, too, because you are the reason why black people will stay poor and broke in this nation. As soon as your generation dies out and goes away from here, then that's the whole thing. That's when we might get some freedom. Yes,
Jeff,
and you
Jeff,
don't have to call me back either. Go ahead.
Jeff, if you put aside, okay, then let's just put aside the whole circumstances of his death, okay?
And we're going to get interrupted here with the news, so keep
okay,
going.
I'm just going to tell you real quick. Jeff, okay,
yep.
We'll
you have to
well,
do it on
say,
the other side. You'll be the first
we'll
up on the other side.
Yep.
Is Tracy and Friends.
If you put aside all of Jodie Foster's suspicious death evidence, just put it all aside. You want to know what Hillary's like? Just look at the way she and Bill publicly handled it. This is somebody that's supposed to be a friend, a loyal supporter, an employee of theirs, a confidant in the White House, and just look at the way they responded to what happened. Forget the circumstances of the death and saying they had any part of it or anything like that. Just put all that aside. Just look at the non-human, non-friendship, non-professional manner in which they handled the whole thing. Sweep it under the rug and move on. They threw him out like he was trash. That's what makes me suspicious of them. And that's my 30 seconds of fame for today.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Mike, because people have to realize that, you know, there is a track record. There is something to whatever is, you know, I mean, the kind of stuff that follows these two, you know?
Yeah.
And my thing is, what is going to happen when, you know, they go to really dig up everything that's going on with Benghazi? I mean,
there are some people who just think with that lizard part of the brain, that ancient part of the brain that says it's either food, it's either something to mate with, or kill it.
Yeah.
And they just have there's just nothing that gets up to the higher reasoning center where you give a darn and you have an appropriate response. What difference does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, you really have to think about that. I mean,
yeah.
At this point, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
For lives. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, Amente, in apartments, you have a lot of control over who your neighbors are, because if anything is going on that's inappropriate or all, and the landlord won't do anything about it, you can't contact the police and the health departments and everything else directly. And at some point, ultimately, under all rental-tenant relationships in just about every major city in the United States, the landlord is responsible for anything illegal or anything in violation of the health code going on in his building.
Well, the stuff that's going on is a bunch of gossip. One woman's cheating on her husband, and kids are bad upstairs. And I mean, I can't report that. That's gossip.
Let the bathtub overrun upstairs.
Oh, I had, you know, it's interesting. I had a situation like that where their toilet clogged up, and I was affected from it. Oh, I was so mad because it flooded my lamp, my favorite lamp. I was pissed off. And I left it alone because it wasn't really their fault, but, you know, it hasn't happened again is what I'm saying. It hasn't happened again.
I had some apartment buildings one time, and not the best section of town, but it was right near where I live, so I didn't think that ill of the location. And I got a call that there was no heat in the building. So when I went there, and I went straight to the basement, and down in the basement was about 18 inches of water, and all three oil burners had gone out because they were flooded. You know, the electricity shorted. So I'm trying to figure out where the water's coming from. I go up to the first floor apartment, and I said to people, you know, what's going on here? And they go, oh, there's been water from upstairs. And this had been going on for 5 days. I go upstairs to the second floor in the building. The tenant had moved out under less than favorable circumstances. They removed the toilet, and all that was there was an open pipe just pumping city water at 80 pounds pressure into this building for 5 days. So I go downstairs, and I go into their bathroom, and the ceiling has fallen down directly over their toilet, and it's pouring like it's raining. And I had a friend with me. Of course, me being blind, I didn't quite figure out what was going on. I'm going, how long? So I stood halfway in the bathroom door, called a tenant. How long has this been going on for? They said, about 5 days. And I'm thinking, 5 days? You ain't pooped in 5 days? How the heck could you use this bathroom with water literally pouring down like a waterfall, you know? And my buddy grabbed me by the arm. He was wheezing because he couldn't breathe because he was laughing so hard. And he took my hand and he put it over to the right-hand side of the toilet. There was a waste paper basket there with an umbrella in it.
Mm.
They were sitting on the john holding an umbrella.
Oh, my God.
I go, some people are just too stupid to live indoors.
Yeah, my the thing with my neighbors is it's like a lot of children.
Yeah.
And mom is not home.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only issue I have. And I had a situation where I had to call the cops because the brother had slapped the little sister, and the cops didn't even come, you know. And it's just, I just learned to just
that's
mind
when you
my
go
business.
To DC. That's when you go to DCYS. And you turn them in for child abuse.
But you know what, Mike?
Yeah.
That's why I come. You know, they bitch and groan about Donald Sterling and about the way he handled his tenants.
Yeah.
But that's the reason they came up with Section 8. Section 8 will pay the owner vouchers directly.
Yeah.
And if the tenant tear up the apartment, Section 8 repairs the apartment to the state it was before
Correct.
The tenant moved in.
Correct. And I had Section 8 people in some of my apartments. And that's exactly why the government programs out there to incentivize the private sector to handle stuff the government admits it's incapable of handling.
My cousin got in trouble over Section 8. She didn't do something to her windows,
mm-hmm.
and the marshals had to pull her out. Like, I don't know
Obama
what she
gives this speech, and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision. State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes. If we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, if we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
To turn it up in here at WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. Jeff in the air chair, and I got some special guests here. Some good friends and great musicians sitting across from me right now. And if anybody's doing something around the area and doing it, you know, these brothers are going to be around it somewhere. And they both are a national recording artist, and they've done a lot of good things in the area, and they were nice to me for Jazz in the Park always, so I always appreciate that, and it's just a great time. We have Mr.
James Lloyd of Pieces of a Dream, and we have Mr. Jerry Bueller, who is going to be featuring Mr. James Lloyd this Sunday with his organization called Second Sundays. And you can give the rest of your company and all of that information, because I don't know if I can pronounce the Naya or whatever.
Well, actually, it's Nia Yana, and my two youngest daughters, Nia, who is 16, and Ayana, who is 13. I just smashed your name.
I should have known that,
because
I knew when they were born.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
You and Cheryl were right there.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. And, you know, mine is coming home from school tomorrow. And she's doing good things down there. You know, she's really involved in the music scene down there. So she's
singing her heart out, right?
She's singing her heart out, and she's doing well. And
tell her the studio is always open.
all you got to do is call
her. I look for opportunities, baby.
Man, bring her in. I wrote a couple songs for her anyway now, so we're going to do those when she comes home. So we're going to, you know, doing my first real project, you know, by myself. But we're having some fun. But
I know two great producers.
You can do it. Believe you me. Believe you me, I need all the help we can get.
Well, I know you're great. Who's the second one? Sitting to my right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Mr. James Lloyd is here.
Yes,
and if anybody knows the group Pieces of a Dream, and my callers online, you'll be able to talk to them here as well. I'm not going to mute you all, but they're sitting here in the studio. And Mr. Lloyd, you live in where do you live at now?
Canfield, Ohio.
You live around the corner from me. Now, listen.
Isn't that something?
Now, I wonder, how did you come to move from the great city of Philadelphia? Was it not Philadelphia?
Yes.
That's what I thought. You a Philly man.
Yeah, I'm Philly man.
Uh-huh.
I've lived a few other places.
I understand.
Philly mostly. That's where I was born and raised.
Uh-huh.
And, three words brought me here.
Okay.
Witness protection. Working out pretty well so far.
So your connection to the courts is they had to keep an eye on you, right?
Right. I met a local girl from here, Teresa Baron Lloyd, and we met when she was actually campaigning for clerical courts.
She was.
And Pieces had did a show at the Youngstown Playhouse.
I was
right?
There.
You were at that show.
Me
right?
Three.
So, I met her after the show and, you know, got to talking to her and you know, like, wow, just, you know, I was proud of her. You know, like, young black sister, you know, doing some things. And, like, wow. I said, well, hey, if I was here, I'd vote for you, you know. And so I signed her CD and then, signed a couple others. And she goes across the room and I told her, come here a second, you know. And I put on a CD, P.S., I think I'm in love. So she looked at that and she said, prove it.
Woo!
Like, whoa, girl with some chutzpah. I like that. All right, now, okay. Well, I grabbed a piece of paper and put my number down and gave it to her and said, well, now you have to give me yours. And been with her ever since.
That's
and
smooth.
So I just moved here because, you know, with me, as long as I can get to an airport,
absolutely.
I can get to work. You
right,
know, basically.
Right.
And she was, you know, already working for the Honorable Cheryl Waite,
mm-hmm.
Cheryl Waite, for a number of years. So I was like, look, you know, keep your gig. Y'all got three airports I can choose from. This is cherry for me.
Yeah.
You know, so
absolutely.
I've been here for about 15 years now.
Okay. Now, Mr. Bueller,
yes,
you have contracted this young man to do a show here this weekend, and you got to tell us about the show and what the concept and organization is doing, and then what's going to happen this Sunday.
Certainly. I think contracted, however, is too strong of a word, and we can't afford him.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Hey, listen. He did the fundraiser for Jazz in the Park for us 4 years ago, three or four years ago, and it was fantastic, and people tell me today that not only was that a good show, but that was one of the best shows they've been to in this area, period.
Absolutely.
Now, we've had a lot of people come through here. But to say that I think that's a great, great compliment. And, you set it off, and it was great.
Let me know when you want me to do another one.
Well, we're gonna do some things this year again, and I'll tell you about that later when we're off the air.
That's excellent. And so with respect to that, you know, he agreed to bless us with his presence at Second Sundays.
Amen.
You know, Second Sundays started back in February at another location. In October, we moved to the Tyler History Center, which is right downtown, 325 Federal Plaza West. Worked out a wonderful arrangement with Bill Lawson of Mahoney Valley Historical Society. And, you know, told him what we wanted to do because, Jeff, as you know, being two promoters in the area, generally people go to Cleveland or they go to Pittsburgh and they go to hear jazz. So with Jazz in the Park and Second Sundays, we had tunnel vision to say, you know what, downtown Youngstown, let's make this the premier place for high-quality jazz entertainment.
Absolutely.
So we do it every second Sunday of the month. With respect to Mother's Day, which is, my goodness, if you're going to do anything, don't do it on Mother's Day because everybody has traditions. But what Second Sundays has been blessed with is building up an audience base where we bring the guest to the stage and people begin to love what's happening. It becomes a family environment.
Oh, yeah.
And the second thing is we always support a charity for that particular month. So we always give back to the community. And we were blessed to be able to partner with Derek Emerson from the Southern Park Chick-fil-A. We told him what we wanted to do, and so we've established the Chick-fil-A Charity of the Month. And this month we're honoring HOW, which is Helping Other Women. And they're a newer organization. I didn't realize that they had some trenches already in there, but Tanya Fuller and her team do a wonderful job of ministering to women spiritually, emotionally, and otherwise, whatever that need is. And so we told James what we were planning to do, you know, with Mother's Day, and it just really blew up. All of a sudden, people are starting to make new traditions, and we're almost out of tickets. I mean, you can still come to the door. But it's going to be at the Tyler, starts at 5 o'clock, goes from 5 to 8. James's set begins at 6, so you're going to have a wonderful meal prepared by Guy's Catering. And we've been blessed to receive from Edible Arrangements a nice bouquet and from Giant Eagle and Liberty and Brill's Flowers. And we have carnations for the mothers as long as the supplies last, you know, a free carnation and all of these wonderful door prizes and giveaways. So the moms are going to get the treatment, and they're going to get the genius of James Lloyd.
That is excellent. That's going to be an excellent way to spend Mother's Day. So you guys need to call and get that, get those last couple tickets.
Absolutely.
Give that number up.
It's 330-718-5373. And to remember that is J-E-R-E, 718-JERRY. J-E-R-E.
So excellent, excellent.
Give me a call.
All right, now. And now, I don't want you to miss this, guys, because this is going to be really something to be part of.
Absolutely.
I wish I could. I cannot this week because
you
got mom.
Do.
You know,
so
you
I
know
got,
I'm coming there.
Yeah,
to,
when I get the no from Jeff, I know because it's something else because you're a regular.
Absolutely.
You're a regular.
Right. And I tell you the truth, this
and
time of year, we're
regular, not just
absolutely,
Jeff, but Cheryl.
Well, of course,
Thompson,
of course. But I'm getting busy. We're getting busy again this time of year. This is our bread and butter time of the year for the local band.
Sure.
And so you know you're doing your thing and you're trying to make that money and perfect your shows. And we're having fun. Now, do you? No, that's okay, man. You're allowed. You're allowed.
Do you want him to take the call on the air?
Yeah, right on air.
It might be a gig. It might be a gig.
And you heard it first. So, hey, callers, if you want to
hey,
ask
Jeff.
Questions, yes.
Yeah, I'm
wait a minute.
Now, this is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are these the same? This is the same guys that did 454.
Yes, it is.
Number four,
many moons ago.
Listen, dude, let me tell you something, man. That goes back all the way in the 80s.
Yeah, it was 83, our third album.
Yeah, man, I was out of boot camp and just got out of boot camp, man, and heard that thing. That was it for me. That was it.
Wow, coolness. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I'm not gonna tell you how old I am, but I will say
well,
I'm just a month older than Tracy.
Uh-oh. Now you done told how old she is.
y'all some old folk. Oh, y'all just so old. Now, I see something here. You played with my absolute favorite female jazz artist. You had Mesa do something with you. What is that song about that you did with her?
What is that, You and I?
I don't know.
On the,
it's going to come up.
Yeah, that's You and I, and that was
I don't have an engineer, man. I'm doing it all over here.
That's multi-jet.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we've been friends for a long time and, you know, seen each other on many occasions, and we decided to just collaborate and have her actually do something on a piece's record. So.
Oh, man, she is fantastic,
yeah,
vocalist.
Such a sweetheart.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'd love to meet her. I missed her. She was just in Cleveland maybe about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a Take 5 downtown Cleveland, and I just picked up. I was up in Cleveland Sunday with Dave,
yeah,
Thomas, and I picked up an advertisement and saw Mesa had been there. I said, "What?" You know, because you know, like I said, when we get busy though, it's like you don't have any choice. You can't do anything.
Sure.
But I would have sure liked to catch her show.
Well, we'll be doing a show with her next month. Please.
Where at?
Should I say? I don't
want to steer any people away from Sunday, but you know, yeah, make sure you come out Mother's Day first.
Mother's
Day. now the other thing, well, that's in Columbus. It's
okay.
It'll be Pieces and Mesa, and actually we'll be back in Mesa as well.
Oh wow!
And the Isley Brothers.
All right.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay, so right. Dr. Bob will be there from here.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you know Clarence Ross.
I do.
So
when are you guys coming to South Carolina?
South Carolina. I'm not exactly sure.
What's the gentleman's name? What's your name, sir, from South Carolina?
Again?
What's your first name, sir, from South Carolina?
John.
John?
John.
Well, maybe you could, Don, maybe you can set it up, and then they'll be there.
You got enough money, Sal.
Okay.
Yeah. You can look it up. Just go to the piecesofadream.net website.
They
and the contact information is on there for the management, and make it happen.
Hey, you make it happen, and I'll be down.
They have Jazz in the Park.
Oh, we
have Jazz in the Park session.
Oh, wow. That'd be wonderful.
Coolness.
Yeah, outside is the best for me. I don't know about anybody else, but I love playing outside. It's just something to that. You know, it just makes you feel different.
Yeah.
This is that's my time of year when it's warm, you know, and doing that thing. Although my band plays this one festival like in end of September, and it's over in PA, and it's always ready to snow when I'm there. it'll be really nice all week. But that Sunday, when we get up there to play, it's freezing.
Let's talk
we'll be
for
right back.
A great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
A gout attack may prevent you from participating in everyday events that are your greatest joys. The most common form of inflammatory arthritis in men, gout affects millions of Americans. Gout attacks, which some have described as feeling like a severe burn, may occur when uric acid levels build up. Without ongoing management, gout may prevent you from enjoying life's simple pleasures. Learn more about managing this chronic illness at www.goutliving.org. This message brought to you by
Mark Levin. He's on the radio.
Obama gives this speech, and he drones on and on and on about the future, about his vision, State of the Union speech. He's talking about the future. He's painting a picture. He's creating an image. If we just had more taxes, if we just had more government, more programs, more departments, more agencies, if we just had more, paradise would be here.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 p.m. on News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
And we're back once again at Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair, here on WSOM 600 AM at 27 minutes after the hour of 11. And we are talking to Mr. James Lloyd, songwriter, keyboardist supreme of Pieces of a Dream, and Mr. Jerry Beulah of, drummer of, how can I... Please name your...
I'm not going to say
it. Oh, man, I can't think of your... I am so sorry.
I'm not going to
say it. Amen.
One of those bands.
No. You name your band, because your band, you had some of the coldest bunch of guys sitting on the stage in summer downtown when you had Keith McKelly.
Yeah, Keith. Paul Dowds on guitar.
Oh, man.
Chris Barnes on keys. And then, you know, this is, we were talking about this yesterday, 2011. Mm-hmm. Up comes a young man who, you know, say, y'all know people make the world go round, and came on the keyboard, Mr. James Lloyd, and jammed with his...
That's right.
There, you know?
Yeah, and in Youngstown, if you don't know people make the world go round, you can't play.
I hear that.
You ain't allowed on the stage. You got to play that, and you got to play Mr. Magic.
Yeah, you got to play Mr. Magic. Yeah,
and please don't play Mr. Magic wrong. You know, please don't be playing the wrong changes. Don't play it too fast. You know, I grew up with Grover on the Road. That's my dad. Like, y'all stop ruining Mr. Magic.
Wait a minute.
Listen to the song. Listen to the original a couple more times and get the feel of it and try it again.
Listen.
One more again.
Listen. Listen, Grover was my hero before I met him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I met him, which is, you don't remember my brother maybe, but my brother did so many concerts with him as a promoter across the country.
Okay.
I did about 8 dates with Grover and then several here and there. Came friends. He came here, stayed with us. I mean, we hung out. Great, 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 great guy was Mr. Grover Washington.
Yes.
And one of the most talented, sensual musicians, period. And I'm not saying sensual in the sexy sense. I'm saying it in the sense that he could make you feel everything that he did. I mean,
I say it was both.
It was just there.
Especially
and then
on
I remember when he got you guys out there, and I met you. Then you guys came through here.
Right.
Because Napoleon was with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just played a couple of hits with them up in Pittsburgh not too long ago because he did a set up there with Hub and them.
Did he do the upright?
No. They were playing. You know, they were
funk stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was him, Hub, what's my man's name? Willie Ross.
Because
me and Willie played pretty much a lot when we do stuff here, especially. And then Willie Ross, and then you had Hub on drums, of course. They and Cliff.
Oh, man.
They rocked it. I mean, it was fun. That's what I like about jazz, because jazz covers so many different types of genre.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And this Sunday I'm going to be covering one that people might not be as familiar with me doing, straight ahead jazz. Now,
mm-hmm.
when you hear Pieces of a Dream, you hear, you know, the contemporary jazz or smooth jazz or whatever you want to call it. But what I'm going to do this Sunday is dig back into my old roots.
Okay.
You know, stuff that I grew up on, you know, like
mm-hmm.
Three Sounds, MJQ, Oscar Peterson,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a lot of my idols back then. And so that's what you can look forward to. It's going to be very special, you know, seeing something that you don't get an opportunity to see, you know.
If I break, if I can break loose, I'm coming. I am coming, man. But
it starts at 5:00. It goes to 8. Wonderful evening. The tickets are very reasonably priced, $25 a person, $45 per couple. We've been having reservations for families of 10 and 12 because it is Mother's Day,
and that includes food too.
That includes your dinner. I mean,
the 25 you know, includes the food
it
too.
Includes your dinner.
How are you getting this done, man? This is not right.
Really, the Lord has shown us some favor. And, you know, for you business owners out there, we are always talking about sponsorship opportunities, you know. But
mm-hmm.
We've been very well, you know, acquainted with Chick-fil-A Southern Park and
sure.
Mahoning Valley Historical Society. Bill Lawson, being a closet guitar player, he has a Strat in his closet. And, you know, us talking about the importance of high-quality jazz in the city on a regular basis help them to make it reasonable for us to do.
Well, that's where now we took Jazz in the Park this year. We took it non-prof, mm-hmm. and the Symphony Society, Art Society of Trumbull County, is our non-prof partner.
Excellent.
So what we're going to try to tie in, a youth program, either one where we supply instruments to
wow.
the inner city kids or the poor children, because one thing about doing music, it exercises intellect.
Absolutely.
Okay? And when it does that, kids that play music learn better.
Certainly.
And they are smarter
yes.
than those that don't have anything to do with it. It should be part of every school, and that's one of the first things we cut out, where you think it might be sports, okay?
Sure.
But you cut out the thing that really helps them.
And Jeff, I think music education allows a student to become a better citizen as well.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's all types of different dynamics that comes because you study music. It's a discipline, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to cooperate with the other members of the bandstand. So there is a give and take that's there that goes beyond the notes that's on the page. This is talking about appreciating your gift. So it's hard for me to hate if I'm appreciating what you're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So music, and that's the preacher in me, so forgive me, but it does have those implications in there, you know. So that's wonderful.
It doesn't matter what you're saying, because if it's right, it's right. It might be tight. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, I'm losing it. It's Friday.
Yeah, he went there. He went there.
Callers online, you are all open. You can ask any questions or just make comments if you so desire. And we're just going to be talking about whatever comes up here between us. And we are talking about music because that's the love of our lives other than wives. And, you know, it's so important. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the influence, you know. And this is the other thing that we're looking into doing. And so I'm going to be talking to Bill.
Sure.
Because there is no history of African American music that comes out of this area.
Excellent.
Okay?
Excellent.
There's nothing. And we were talking about that, myself, Marty Moore, mm-hmm. Rick Robinson,
because
they're going to try to do a reunion of Extremities Prophets from way back in the day.
He remembered their
That's because
name.
I just talked to them. Jerry.
Just saying. Hey,
Jerry.
Extremities Prophets. I remember them. I was a little kid sitting under their feet, you know. But he, you know, Sound Doctrine.
I did not think Look.
Like,
Jerry,
shit.
You're younger than me, okay? Well, you give me a break. You're younger than me.
Okay. That's all.
You know I know that name. You know I just couldn't pull it out.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
my
sir.
God.
Yes, sir.
I apologize. Sound Doctrine. Will you have your product on sale there as well?
No. This is James Lloyd.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know whether you
James
just
Lloyd.
Whether
no.
you had a had a
No. Only when we work with artists who are just working on their first project and they don't have anything out do we have, you know, because we want people to take music
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I got you.
But, you know, we don't impede upon those who have
excellent.
Their own CDs. I mean,
excellent.
You know, we're here for the, you know, first of all, I promote because I'm a musician first.
Absolutely.
And so everything that happens across the table, I'm thinking about it like I'm the musician being booked for the gig.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think about all those parameters. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I've worked with some shiesty producers, and I know you don't
oh,
have
really?
Enough time to get into that. But I
why are you going to talk about me on the air like that, right? I'm sitting right here, man. I can hear you.
I've been 500 miles away from home, and, you know, all I got is the deposit. You know what I'm saying?
No,
and it's
no,
like,
no.
How do I feed? We were down in a city that I won't name
mm-hmm.
with a big promoter that I won't name,
mm-hmm.
right? And after the festival, Jazz Fest we were playing, he comes up, and we do have a written agreement. We do have a formal contract,
mm-hmm.
and he gives me what he thinks. He says, is that enough? This is not the balance. What do you mean? Is it enough? It's enough to get me killed because these guys got to get back to Youngstown.
Woo!
And it's crazy out there. So, you know, basically, and you, I'm sure the same is true for you. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I, we love music so much that it doesn't matter whether the instrument is in our hand or not. We do
right.
want to create opportunities
absolutely.
For the music to continue flowing.
Absolutely.
And Second Sundays came about as a way for Sound Doctrine to establish a platform where we were able to just keep the music flowing, whether it was
mm-hmm.
us, whether it was people we were working with, in the studio or on the road. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But when you get into these parameters of payment and all of this, you want to make sure it's right. I will sleep well at night.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that I have not wronged anyone, that everything is on the up and up.
Well, there was no doubt about that because when James helped us out this time, you know, there was a small amount because he had to bring, you know, do things he had to do.
Sure.
We made sure that was there.
That's right.
And because... You know, we didn't want to ever have a bad – how are you going to have a bad relationship with one of the most famous musicians that there is
yeah.
living in your city?
Absolutely.
And he's reaching out his hand to help you out. So, you know, I don't understand that. I have never not paid my guys, okay? Not ever.
Well,
not one time.
I will say I will say there have been times, like when Sound Like, we started January 12, 2002 was our very first gig,
mm-hmm.
okay? And there were times when there was no money, but it was about family.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And they and each one of those guys can come back to the table and go, I remember when the times were lean.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And we were all in it together, but it wasn't like Jerry took home something and nobody else did.
Nobody else
we
did.
We all
right.
were eating peanut butter and jelly.
Absolutely.
You know.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead, tell your horror stories because I know you got them. Top, can you top this?
Yes, well, you know, I'm not pointing any fingers, but I'm still yet to be paid for doing the closing theme in school days.
Oh, oh Lord have mercy. Oh, no.
But, you know, in Spike's defense, I must say, in all honesty, I don't think he had any idea that that had happened. I mean, we were in the studio in New York with Lenny White recording Makes You Wanna album. And, you know, we, like, stopped what we were doing to start working on a song for the Spike Lee School Days. So then we got the track together, and it was all done, and like, okay, we're going to use that. And then next thing we know, like, well, no, we're not going to use that, but we want you to play on this one. Like, oh, man, really? Okay, cool. Well, so then we go to this other studio, and I play this, you know, the song, and, you know, had a producer that I guess maybe that was the person that was most likely responsible for, you know, for paying the guys. I mean, sure, Spike's doing the movie. He's not like, you know, hey, I got to write a check for, you know, James, Cedric, and Kurt for playing on this one song at the end. You know, it's like, so, yeah, but it's funny. I mean, you know, it was a joy to do that, but I'm still looking for my check. Every time I see that movie, I'm like, oh, that, man, that was fun, was, you know.
It was fun, but that wasn't the case.
But Spike was cool. I mean, you know, I got to go over his house, and he was showing me some of the footage, and it was so deep, you know, watching it, not even on, like, a TV, but on some kind of little machine table thing, you know, with no sound or anything. So I was like, man, this was cool. You know, he's a real cool cat.
Well, look, we're gonna go ahead and go to break here for a minute, and we'll be right back after these messages. It's Listening in the Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the Air Chair here on WSM 600 AM. And we're going to do our thing and talk about more music for the last 15 minutes of the show after we pay some bills here and do some sponsors, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be right back.
Who's still here? Well, then I'll go. If all the mice are silent.
What you want to do? This is Mornings with Tracy and Friends, and we're almost done. It's a quarter to the hour, 12. And, Jerry, I want you to please say once again and get some numbers out, how much everything is, what's going on. And then we want to let Mr. Lloyd say whatever he wants to say here as our guest here on Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
Absolutely. James Lloyd on a Mother's Day experience, second Sunday is this coming Sunday, May 11th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tickets are $25, $45 per couple, which includes a wonderful dinner by Guy's Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Got to say thanks to Bill Lawson. Got to say thanks to Derek Emerson from Chick-fil-A at Southern Park.
Mm-hmm.
They're sponsoring our Chick-fil-A Charity of the Month, which is how Tanya Fuller and her organization helping other women.
Excellent.
Got to say thank you to Edible Arrangements. Got to say thank you to Giant Eagle at Liberty. Store
mm-hmm.
for just blessing us with their sponsorship, as well as Brill's Flowers on
mm-hmm.
Bella Vista. We are providing bouquets and carnations, and we're just honoring mothers of all ages. We're going to give away something to the eldest mother who's there, something to the mother with the most children present. It's going to be an excellent time. And the music, however, mm-hmm. is going to be provided by one James Lloyd of Pieces of a Dream.
Oh, that's okay. We...
the crowd of two goes wild.
There you go.
There you go. You're right on it, too.
There you go. There you go.
That's awesome. Man, I just wanted to say that, you know, I'd like to thank you, Jeff, and Jerry, and really just the area all together as a whole for really making a brother feel welcome.
Oh.
You know, and just, yeah, I really just feel so welcome and so at home and at peace here. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, why Youngstown? You can live anywhere. It's like, yeah, because it's got that kind of vibe. You know what I mean? And like I said, I live some of the biggest cities, you know, Manhattan,
sure.
North Hollywood, Vegas. But, you know, I've been here longer than I've been at any of those places with the exception of Philadelphia.
Yeah, I heard
you
that.
Dig? So I think that says a lot. Yeah, y'all just really make a brother feel welcome, you know, and I'm glad to be here. And well, also, I want to say that, you know, realize, you know, people have to realize what they have here. And with, you know, you guys trying to do all of these things, people don't have the same excuse that, oh, there's nothing to do here. I have to go to Cleveland. I have to go to Pittsburgh.
Right.
You know, people like yourselves are trying to create things right here at home. So you don't have to go so far, and you don't have to stay home. You don't have to do the same old things, you know. So, yeah, there are becoming things to do here in Y-Town. So.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad to be a part of it, man.
Well, you know, no doubt about it, and we're glad to have you here as well. And we were blessed when you moved here. I mean, it's like, you know, because we've had a lot of people, and that's why we're going to try to work on this historical level, because if you know that Herb Alpert from Tijuana Brass, his second guy is from Youngstown. Okay,
wow.
He was in that. If you know that Machen, the trombone player, was from Youngstown, and he played with everybody in the business back in the day. Those were the jazz blues days.
Well, look at the James Brown band.
James Brown band. You had Nate
Jerry Poindexter.
Jerry
Poindexter, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Nate. Nate taught my brother how to play drums.
Wow.
And, you know, and then he left. He played with the Shy Lights for a while. He played with the Lost Generation, you know, several other of those bands back in the early 70s.
Yes,
and, you know, there's a lot of people that did some nice things right from here.
Mm-hmm. So are you compiling that and you're going to put it in some sort
we're going to try to do is not only create a book, but we might even try to create a room. With hopefully, and I'm saying
sure.
My plan is to contact
Bill
mm-hmm. Historical Society,
yeah.
Contact YSU, mm-hmm. and maybe even Kent.
I think what you're saying right now is vitally important, Jeff, and
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, it's too important to leave it in the airwaves, but that
absolutely.
Even after, you know, Second Sundays, to put together a website, I have to redesign another website. By the way, we are at secondsundays.net, so you can purchase your tickets
excellent.
Even while we're talking. But what I'm saying is to start that and to build a website with that, and I'm sure a link into the Historical Society, because all it is a link.
Absolutely.
You know, but us putting that together, and I'm very serious. You know, my time, you know, my time is crazy. But
absolutely.
I think that that's vital because, you know what, 50 years from this moment,
mm-hmm.
one day somebody is going to be sitting there and going, man, Jeff Green, he would, you know, he played with these guys. He played all over the area. It's vital to honor your history, but realizing that every minute that goes by, you're a part of that. You're a part of creating that. James Lloyd is in our area and has been
absolutely.
For the last 15 years. So as they continue to
wait a minute.
Follow forth,
15 years.
15 years, man. I came here.
You get old, James.
So he's homeboy. He's homeboy now. You know what I mean?
I have my social security number only has 2 digits. So, you know, I remember when they came out with Fire. You know, not the song, the element. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I love
yep. I got Moses beeper number.
I told the cat he's so old yesterday that he gave God the down payment to build the earth.
Oh, wow.
Man.
Man, that's a new one. I like that one. I like that. That's a new
one.
Well,
that's all right, because I stole yours.
Which one?
It's a small world.
But I wouldn't want to paint it.
Oh, paint it! I used when you said sweep it.
Oh, sweep it. Right. I wouldn't want to sweep it.
Oh, man, that cracked me up when you said that. I was rolling. Kim Hines was still alive then, and he said that up at, I don't know, it was a Playhouse someplace. We were doing sound for you. And you said, that was, I think, when you did the fundraiser.
Okay.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious.
You can spend a second on Kim, too, because what a blessing he was.
Oh, my God.
To many people, you know, the Pieces of the Dreams, the Marion Medals, you know.
Personally and professionally, I miss Kim Hines.
Yeah, definitely.
All to his family, that please know that this is one brother.
From Jerry B. as well.
Absolutely. Like, man, you were 100% right there. You know,
well, when we did the Jazz Fest, when those were, you know, going on, and
right.
We don't know what the future of that's going to be. That's another show, Jeff. But with respect to,
let's,
you know,
talk about that.
Yeah, every time that we did a Jazz Fest, we had Kim, you know, we had his image on stage for
mm-hmm.
every musician. You know, we did that at YSU, you know, that rug
right.
That J.E. Washington made, and Lynn was so, and matter of fact, Lynn will be at Second Sundays.
Excellent.
You
cool.
know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, because Kim was about the music, and I have not heard more clear sound. This is no disrespect to Leon, who is doing a great
Absolutely.
Job for us. But Kim Hines was crystal clear, and what you guys put together with Oneness Sound.
Can I say this to you? I'll say it to you like this. We had the contemporary gospel group Word, Blood, and Power.
Yeah.
Kim did not know sound yet. Mm. And he literally practiced on us, and we went a lot of places.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one of them horror stories. We went to Cincinnati to play, and we had 8-9 people in the band, maybe 10. We only made $50.
That
and
was
we rented a bus, Robinson bus line. Kim was there, and Kim would give you a,
Yeah, that's not like
$50. Nobody, we didn't even eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that. Oh, man, it was horrible. But anyway.
Word, Blood, and Power is a good group. You got any recordings from
Yes, I do. Yes,
era?
I do. And Ernest and I, not this year, but next year, we'll be putting together, redoing the old stuff and putting that thing and, you know, reworking it because it has to be brought up to today.
Yeah.
But we had some songs that were really, really tight.
Now, Daryl was with you guys, right?
Daryl Alexander.
He has a new album.
Rick Fant.
Rick Fant.
Yeah. Daryl always, hey, Skip. You always have a new album out.
Yeah, no, it's out. It's
he
out.
Don't play
it's
around.
All on point.
Oh, he
yeah,
don't play
it's
around.
All transitions.
He does not play around.
Do you know Daryl? You know Daryl? We'll make that introduction.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a few brothers around that did some things. At one time we worked together, and then everybody's life gets busy.
Sure.
Jerry was at my studio for the
two
longest.
Years.
Yeah, before well, that was 2 years.
Yeah,
oh my
years.
God.
Yeah, up on my.
Before you, yeah. And we had the first digital studio, in digital recording studio in Youngstown.
MIDI mix.
Yeah. Mac
right?
Mac
wow.
Bass. And the first Pro Tools system.
See, I got
all
four
right,
on my Social Security.
I'm a little bit.
Yeah, that one song that played for bumper music. That was done at. That's mine. That's
yeah.
done from my
oh,
studio.
Oh, coolness.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember
so,
those.
Hey, I got a new album out too.
Well, actually, we have two.
Do that thing, man.
Yeah, this is we have a new best of,
mm-hmm.
and we,
what's it called? Is it called the new best of?
It's called the best of Peace of Dream Volume 2.
Okay.
And so there's some things. If you have the our original best of, which was some years ago,
mm-hmm.
There's some things that are on the new one that weren't on the other, and vice versa. But we added one thing very special to that. We did a tribute to my musical dad, the late, great Grover Washington, Jr., and we redid Mr. Magic
okay.
featuring Najee on
that
sax.
Sucker fly.
I'm a hero.
Yeah, I played it for Jerry yesterday at the house, and yeah.
That flies.
Man.
So, you know, that's this is our, you know, our tribute to him. This is our giving back.
My goodness.
You know,
yeah.
So,
and the name of the new album, the new piece is.
And the current, actually, album. Is called In the Moment.
Jerry, you want to sit over here because you're doing a much better job than I am.
Right. I've been in radio, 150 years? You know?
Yeah, so it's called In the Moment, and first single, well, the current single is In the Moment now. The first single was Stepper's Delight, and that made it to number one on Billboard for 3 weeks.
Getting ready to pull that
out
one.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
very happy about that, and yeah.
Oh, that
so
is.
This is our 20th release. Believe it, 20 albums, man. Over since 81, the first one.
Wow,
what a blessing! A
senior in high school.
Wow. Yeah,
that didn't hurt the social life. I must say back then.
Well, I mean, let's face it. You had
walked the record with an album. Well, I mean, walked to school with an album. I'm like, man, well, hey.
I don't have any trouble with dates.
That's right. You know, I just show up with that. I need a date for the prom. Any takers? No.
Listen. I was a nerd, right? I had no girlfriends till about seventh or eighth grade, when me and Willie Oliver we started a group. Man.
Oh, yeah.
It came out of everywhere. People was out the woodwork. What?
I'm glad there's only 3 minutes because we're all married.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm retired.
You're talking about dates.
I'm retired. I don't need a date.
Hey, I'm in the club. I was a nerd too till I was about 14, 15 years old.
Understood.
Went to high school and
this music thing.
Understood. But you know what? I'm just glad for what I got now, and. And I'm glad for good friends. I'm glad for people that were community-minded because we're trying to create what we lost from us being young when we had the larger community where they came together for around musical things, the Mutations Ball. You had the African Culture Weekend that we don't have anymore.
Sure.
And next year we're going to do a Juneteenth downtown. We're going to do a Juneteenth downtown. And that way, because that's why I restructured, you know, everything, because when we start doing these things,
yeah.
And we're going to bring in quality people to do this.
That's right.
Nobody gets on the stage down at Jazz in the Park if you can't play. We don't bring a basement band down to Jazz in the Park.
Sure.
Not that you don't mean well and you might sound good. I love you. I love all of you guys. But he ain't getting down there. We ain't got much money anyways, but next time.
$50.
We made $50. We will see you guys Monday. We'll be right back Monday morning, 9 o'clock, bright and early, Tracy and I and everybody else. Morning with Tracy and friends. God bless. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you later.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Did they ignore the warning signs? A report that's just been released shows Nigeria's military may have had several indications that a girls' school was about to be attacked.
In chilling detail, the Amnesty International account describes how panicked local civilian patrols telephoned army authorities 4 hours before the Boko Haram gunmen pillaged the girls' school. They were promised Nigerian help was on the way. In fact, none was ever sent to protect the towns or the students. Amnesty International calls it a gross dereliction of duty by Nigeria's government. Ann Compton, ABC News, Washington.
A team of American experts is now in Nigeria to help officials coordinate a rescue. Republicans are ready for a new round of hearings now that the House has approved the formation of a select committee to look into the deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. But Democrats aren't so sure.
Chris Stevens.
Glenn Doherty.
Top House Democrat Nancy Pelosi read the names of the four victims of the Benghazi attack.
Two of their families have called us and said, please don't take us down this path again.
Pelosi says her caucus is still split over whether to sit on the select committee, which would have a 7-5 Republican majority. Pelosi calls it a political stunt. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News at the Capitol.
It could be a rough weekend weatherized across much of the nation with more supercells that can produce strong winds, large hail, and possibly tornadoes across the nation's midsection.
We'll probably see another round of stronger severe storm potential across parts of the Central Plains, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma on Saturday, and then again on Sunday.
Meteorologist Stephen Corfitti at the National Weather Service. It is National Bike to Work Day, and the latest Census Bureau figures show a lot of us are using our pedal power to get to the job. The number of bike commuters is up 60% over the past decade. The Dow is down 5 points, NASDAQ off 3. This is ABC News.
Ladies, how many pounds have you gained since turning 40? If you're like an average woman, probably 5 or more. How many times have you stood in front of the mirror and thought, I don't like my body, but I don't know what else to do? If this sounds like you, please call the Amberin Hotline at 1-800-242-4166. You see, after 40, the female body changes, so one-size-fits-all solutions may no longer work for you. At Amberin, we specialize in breakthrough solutions specifically tailored to women over 40, including hormonal balance, relief from menopausal symptoms like hot flushes, night sweats and sleeplessness, and effective weight loss. Call Amberin today and experience real results for a special discounted price of just $29.99 a month. This offer is backed by a complete 30-day money-back guarantee. No questions asked. So, if you're a woman over 40 and you're tired of looking in the mirror and not liking what you see, call 1-800-242-4166. But this is a limited-time offer, so call right now. 1-800-242-4166. That's 1-800-242-4166.
The NFL draft is underway. Have you ever wondered how those players who get picked in the first round get those personalized number one jerseys so quickly?
The NFL draft isn't a must-see ESPN special by accident.
With the first pick.
By the time Commissioner Roger Goodell says this.
The Houston Texans select Jadeveon Clowney.
There's already been a careful choreography, so the number one pick gets his number one jersey with his name on it. The New York Times reports Nike has a workspace backstage and gets a heads up before each announcement. With every team's jersey on hand and 960 nameplates, it's a two-minute process to make the custom jersey and get it in the draftee's hands before he can say,
I'm ready to get to work, man. We're in the NFL to play some football.
Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
34 American World War II veterans are being honored today by the French at the U.S. Military Academy as the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings approaches. They'll be decorated as Knights of the Legion of Honor during a ceremony at West Point. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
No taxation.
Do you or someone you know have hearing loss? At Centers for Hearing Care, we've got your state-of-the-art made-for-iPhone hearing aid. Hear on the telephone better than you ever have. Call Centers for Hearing Care. 888-866-4327. That's 888-866-HEAR.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals, make runny scrambled eggs, and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Do you drink milk straight from the carton, think trigonometry is a planet, and snore louder than a Kodiak bear? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you bite your nails like they're a snack food, think an MP3 is a computer virus, can't tell a right angle from an acute, constantly lose the remote, can't parallel park, confuse hip-hop with double dutch, and are afraid of spiders, dentists, and clowns, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
GEICO presents Strange Savings Stories. Sam Tucker woke to find crop circles in his cornfield that spelled out the word GEICO. Was this a message sent by aliens? Sam went to GEICO.com and saved hundreds of dollars with great discounts. He woke the next day to find new crop patterns had formed. They spelled out, you the man. It seems the aliens were pleased indeed.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Listen to Tracy and Friends weekdays from 9 to noon on WSOM.
Radio, a constantly changing art form. Marconi, Lakehurst, New Jersey.
Oh, the humanity.
The Mercury Theater.
This is Orson Welles, ladies and gentlemen.
The New World Order.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem.
From that first broadcast, a medium that has been proved. Home, trim, winnow, bonsai, pruned, and deposited here today. Ready to be moistened with the watering can of evolutionary dew, this is the Dennis Miller.